Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everyone. We are definitely here tonight, and glad to be with you. Another Life Prophetic Talk Show, and we're here Thursday night. Get ready to take communion tonight. So we will eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus, right, by our communion act. And so thank you for that, Lord, that we can partake of Jesus in a very unique way, one that he set up himself right before he was betrayed by Judas. In the same night he was betrayed, actually, by Judas. So very interesting. And whole lot going on with a whole lot of things, so get ready for everything. We will try to share everything that we can with you that God gives us and try not to leave anything out. That's my job, is to keep my blood, your blood, off my hands for any whatever level that would be, right? So I'm here to share that with you and hopefully keep you from blundering too much like sometimes we do. So that we can, be blessed, be totally blessed. I don't want it to be a little bit blessed, right? I want to be totally blessed. And I think that you probably do too. So that's what we're looking at. And each individual person is responsible for their own life before the Lord. And so when you start realizing that, you start realizing that, wow, we have a whole lot to work on. You know, and to stay before him on a regular basis. Yeah, so better keep that going and believe in God for, walking with him. Even though if you're born again, you know, you've got pretty well set up. If you're truly born again, we really mentioned a truly, truly, truly born again, then you're fine, you know. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about living in the earth. That's why you get baptized in water. It's not to get you born again. It's to save you. It's not the same thing. It saves you from, it connects you to a living life on earth. That's why you get baptized in his burial, death, burial, and resurrection. You know, you go down to the water because it is an act that we do that is so powerful that we need to do it so that we can walk in the earth and walk out our salvation in the earth with fear and trembling. Amen. And it also connects us to the heavenlies, to where heaven can come down and glory can fill your soul on a regular basis. Right? Yeah, on a regular basis. That's, give us this day our daily bread is like getting, his glory down in your soul. Thus saith in heaven, right? To say to thus in the earth. Everything is about connecting to from heaven into earth. It's not just about going to heaven. When you're born again, you're in heaven, basically. I mean, you're in heaven. Your spirit man is seated in heavenly places with Christ right now. That will never change if you're born again, if you're truly born again. A lot of people just get religious experiences. You know, I've had one myself. My religious experience wasn't all that great. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I was kind of like being forced into it. I was not really forced, but manipulated and coerced because they love me. You know, people love you so much they want you to just, oh, please, we don't want you to go to hell. Chandler, we're going to get you saved. And so they kind of like, you know, they were wanting it so bad, they just kind of helped me get down there, you know. And I know they meant well, but I wasn't born again. And I knew, I said, this is it. Man, not much. You know, really, it's what I thought. But you know what? It wasn't it. And when somebody gets born again, you know it, man. I mean, when heaven comes into your soul and you're seated with Christ in heaven's place, your spirit man is seated there. Whew, like, in some way, somehow, electricity or power, resurrection power soars through your being in some fashion. It may not be gooseies and all that kind of thing, but something's got to happen because that is an amazing experience. And it's different for different people. Not everybody has the same experience. I had a pretty cool experience. I was so nasty, dirty as a heathen. I just, when Jesus washed me, I was clean and pure before God without having done anything right except say, God, if you're real, I need to know it, and I need to know it now. And he did. And I didn't even say, Jesus, save me. And he, you know, he just knew what I wanted. He knew what I meant. He knew I meant business. When you mean business with God, you don't have to say all the words perfect, friend. Let me tell you something. You have to say every word perfect you say. If you did, a lot of people would never get saved. They just cry out to God, and they're crying out to God for salvation. They don't have to say, in Jesus' name, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, sees the right hand of the Father. He's the one for me. You know, I mean, that it's, I say all this stuff later, and I think it's cool. It's extremely important to say all this stuff because it does help you, you know, open up to stuff. Being baptized in water is a very powerful thing to do. It doesn't birth you into the kingdom, but it saves you. It saves you from a lot of stuff. It saves you from, it's like somebody saved you from a car wreck, or saved you from losing all your money, or saved you from getting kidnapped or something. You know, getting saved is a completely different experience than being born again. But hey, it's wonderful. And that's what baptism water does. So I don't know why I'm talking about this right now, but so anyway, it's pretty cool how that all the different things the Bible talks about, if we can truly properly understand them and rightly divide them, I think it'll help us know what the Word of God is truly saying instead of what we think it means, right? And I've had my share of what I think it means. And a lot of the things I've been taught, I just took it for granted because wonderful people told me about them. And I went, man, they got to be right. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. And I would agree with them as an ignorant person, right, as a person just getting saved, not knowing the Bible at all. I was like, man, they're really cool. He's a preacher. You mean he's an actual preacher from God, called by God? Oh, he must know everything, you know, because that's just, as a child, it's like a little child looks up to their daddy and mommy. They think their mommy and daddy know everything and can fix anything and can do anything. Can they? Probably not, but, you know, so, hey, it's truly amazing. We do that with preachers, too. And so sometimes some of the doctrines that we get, and we've all had them, and some of you don't know that you have them yet, but, you know, God's going to show you whatever needs to be changed, if there's anything. All right? So, yeah, so get ready for that. The Lord changes. Don't be afraid to let him change it. Because if you don't repent, repentance isn't getting born again. Repentance is getting saved again. You repent so you can save yourself lots of destructive places in the earth while you're a Christian, right? So we're gonna get this language right, I think, I hope, soon, and we're working on it. So once you get born again, friend, you're born again. If you're truly born again, you're born again. That's it. The Bible says he who's born again sinneth not, cannot sin. The Bible says cannot sin. Yeah, cannot sin. Your spirit man can't sin. Your body, your soul, your spirit man cannot, but your body and soul can. Your mind, will, and emotions can, right? Yeah. So that's the part of us that needs the blood and needs the forgiveness on a regular basis, needs to be saved by the engrafting of the Word of God. I mean, that's all scriptural language. We've got to get the language right so we can understand, you know, what he's saying, you know. And I think we're going to get it little by little. So I'm just starting. Once you get one revelation from God, it just leads you into another, into another, into another, into another, where you go from glory to glory. Go from faith to faith, right? Yeah, you think faith would just be faith, but you go from faith to faith. Let me look at that for a second. Then that'd be kind of interesting here. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:18, I think, says that. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Whoa, that's pretty amazing. For we all, with unveiled face. Let's look at that for a second. Unveiled face. What does that mean? Look up unveiled face. Look at that for a second. Remove a veil or covering from the face. In particular, uncover a new monument or a work of art as part of a public ceremony. You know, like you uncover it, like it's covered up, and then you. So we all with unveiled, uncovered faces. Uncovered. I don't mind if I revelate your safety. You need to go to the bathroom, get a drink. I'm going to revelate here just for a minute. You might want some of this, maybe not. I don't know. let's see where this is going. Unveiled face. So your face, but we all with unveiled face, with unveiled face, with an unveiled face. Everybody say, if you want to get it, God, if my face is not unveiled, but we all, but we unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Man, if you got a mirror in front of you, you pretty well see what you see, right? It says, and beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image that our unveiled face is beholding. Wow, that's cool. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. With those words, from glory to glory, Paul sums up our entire Christian life. And I'm reading, somebody's trying to explain that. I don't want to go there yet. For we with all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Very interesting. Okay, so in other words, we look at how we get changed is that we behold as in a mirror and with unveiled face the glory of the Lord. And that's what transforms us. Wow. Lord, I ask you tonight to show us how to walk in that place with unveiled face. But we are the ones with unveiled face. And we, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Right? So that should be pretty plain. That's what the Lord's trying to say. When you start seeing, looking in a mirror, you can look at your nose, you can see if you got any pimples, you know, or any hairs growing in the wrong places, you know, what needs to be trimmed up. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, something needs to be, you know, either you look great or you need to be fixed up a little bit, one or the other. Yeah, so... Wow, very interesting. And so, Lord, show us, if that's what's kind of what you're trying to say tonight to us tonight here at PGN, to you're going to begin to show us, like looking in a mirror, right? If they had the mirrors then, that the mirrors that we have now, I mean, that's a pretty plain face. I mean, it's pretty plain what you look like. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, we thank you for that we can see you like that, and we see you like that, that plane, looking into your face, looking to you, that we are literally being transformed into that same image. Wow, that's a heavy, I haven't read that in a long time. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So he explains at the end, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Hmm. Okay. I don't want to get stuck there, but I thought I'd go here for a minute and see what that was. Awesome. Very, very cool. All right. So from glory to glory, we behold the face. We behold with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So always thank you for that. Unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, so we can be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as in from the Lord is the Spirit. I don't know that I understand all that exactly, but we're going to work on that. I think we're kind of going there a little bit. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up new places in our life tonight, Jesus. We thank you that tonight as we take communion, that we are beholding the Lamb of God, that we remember, let us have a mirror experience with you, Jesus, so that we can look into your face and know, face to face, like Moses had a face-to-face experience with God. Yeah. So y'all hear the Lord saying something about this? There's something about face-to-face. And this is what happened when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again from the dead, was so that you and I could come face to face with him with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. In other words, face to face. Right? Are y'all getting that out of that? To be transformed into the same image. See, the same image. So who are we being transformed into? What? Whose image? Christ's image. So you see the image of Christ in his face through our face being unveiled. And Lord, whatever that means to unveil our face, let's look that up, unveiled, one more time. Please remove a veil or covering from, in particular, uncover in a monument. It's like a monument of a work of art being uncovered as part of a public ceremony. Wow. That is really, really amazing. Okay. All right, we're going to move on past that. You're ready to take communion tonight. Don't forget that. You know, it's been so much going on. For the last year, we talked a little bit this last few nights, but the last few years, several months, especially the last whole year, really, a lot of shocking things have happened. We've, you know, just kept a lot of it quiet for out of respect to the requests made of me. And so now that that's been kind of opened up, we are believing God to unveil, you know, some of that. And share with you some of the things that we've learned through it and are still learning through it, and we'll continue to learn through it, right? We can learn through everything and all things. And so I'm really believing God to be able to grasp, you know, what's going on and the sufferings you go through, you know, and the sorrow and the grieving and all the things you go through and the up and down and got a breakthrough, didn't get a breakthrough, you know, then. And then, boom, you get upside the head. It's like, you know, how do you deal with all that stuff? And it's like, you just go to the Lord. And the Lord has to open you up and show you, you know, how much he loves you and what this is all about, you know, my thing is that God wants us to, you know, obey him in everything. Don't let anything be uncovered in our lives. With unveiled, oh, okay, there you go, with unveiled, uncovered, unveiled faces. Maybe we're going to get somewhere here with this. With uncovered faces, to uncover our face, to look into his face with an unveiled face, not covering anything up, knowing that without condemnation. And so when the enemy tries to get us to cover things up, we're not able to behold. And we're not able to be transformed. There we go, into the image of Christ. If we have something covered up, you know, and that's what we talk about a lot, is about all the things that we have covered up that we need to get uncovered and unveiled. With unveiled face, we come before the Lord, for there's nothing veiled, nothing, because anything that's secret or hidden, you know, that they haven't opened up before the Lord, not that you have to go around telling everybody everything, but it's not necessarily about sin. Sometimes it's just about, you know, a lot of things. And so the transformation begins to happen when you look into his face, you know, with unveiled face. He says, but we all, not some of us, not most of us, but we all, with unveiled, uncovered faces. What's the face? The face, you know, the eyes are the window of the soul. And, you know, God wants to unveil everything that is, you know, in our face, in our brain, in our mind, in our thoughts, between our ears, to get it unveiled so that we can behold as in a mirror. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a person who has hidden things that, for some reason, whatever reason, the devil's intimidated you and you haven't been able to get that open with the Lord? If so, you know, it's going to keep you from being transformed. Transform means if you need to be healed of it, healed of things, you're not going to be able to be healed. Transform sometimes means being healed from something. So if that thing, not that we have to be perfect to be healed, because you don't. Jesus healed bunches of people without anybody being saved, without anybody repenting. He healed people like all right and left. But as Christians, as believers, you know, we we don't get healed or delivered because of our works so much, but sometimes if we've got something hidden, and we know we've got it hidden, and it's veiled, it veils a part of our face where it can't be, where we can't see the face of the Lord fully, because we're hiding it from Him, like He doesn't already know it. It's maybe shameful or whatever it is. So you get it out in the open and come with unveiled face. I think I'm getting somewhere with this one. I haven't read this scripture in a long time. And this is not even the one that I was going after a while ago. Faith, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. No, this is not even the one. I just happened to get here and go, okay, Lord, maybe you want to say something here. So, you know, whatever the things are, we need to find some way, somehow, however God can help you get your face unveiled before Him, so that when you can look complete, you don't have half your face covered up, you're not looking down, but you can look right into the face of the Lord without any shame, without any condemnation, and know that, you know, and there is, if you're not able to do that, friend, you're not going to be able to be transformed. Transform means being formed, whatever is messed up can be changed, whether it's your body, whether it's your mind, whether it's your, whatever it is. It can be changed only if our face is unveiled before the Lord to be transformed completely. So sometimes we come to having issues, like when it says take communion, make sure that you are examining yourself to make sure that you want to be free from whatever sin it is you have. You want to forgive whoever you can't seem to forgive, but if you don't want to, then I don't recommend taking communion, which we're going to do tonight. But if you want to forgive, you want to be healed, if you want to get that thing right, then take communion, face unveiled. Say, God, you know, here it is. I open up to it. Here it is. Totally unveiled. I look you face to face. Here I am, just as I am. I come to thee. Like in a mirror. And it's like, when that happens, friend, that's what causes us to be transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Amen. Wow, I really like that. I don't know. I'm just really getting on that tonight. Something about that. I guess we take communion tonight. Something's going to happen along those lines. We're going to be able to see something new, know something new, believe for something new, and walk in something new. Because the whole reason we're here on the earth, the reason we talked about being baptized in water earlier, wasn't baptism in water doesn't birth you to the kingdom. It does save you, but it doesn't birth you. Being birthed is entry to the kingdom. You become, your seed comes inside you. You get born again. But born again and being saved are two different things, the language-wise, as far as in the Bible. Because in James, you know, it's talking about receiving with meekness the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. In other words, keep your soul out of trouble. It saves your soul. It saves your mind from going places it shouldn't go. It saves your thinking from thinking the wrong thing and going the wrong place. It saves you from, you know, doing stupid stuff. It saves you from it. You know, the Word of God saves you. The Word saves you. And so, just like baptism in water, the Bible says it saves you, just like Noah was saved by the water. But the water didn't birth him, right? It saved him from destruction in the earth. The water did. And so really, really cool. So it's a really cool thing. So we're going to get a hold of this stuff, and God's going to help us to see it, whatever we need to see. And because the important thing is that once you get born again, is to be transformed, right, into the image of Jesus. That's what I'm working on. I go through a lot of things that I never tell anybody, you know, because sometimes you can't. You have to work through it sometimes privately. I've had, you know, people fight me on things that were just mind-boggling. And then you watch God, if you stay faithful to the Lord and you stay in that place, God will eventually, you know, move them out of the way one way or the other. You know, I've had some powerful men who, you know, deliberately, willfully, came after me for whatever reason, misunderstanding, their pride got involved, who do you think you are, it's a type thing. I've had that happen, as you know, and you guys, I think most people had the same thing one way or the other. And, you know, they have come after me, and, you know, as long as you're in righteousness with the Lord, friend, and you bless them and warn them and you know, you're going to put him in the hands of God, and God may be nice to them, and he may not be so nice, so to speak. He wants to save everybody. He wants everybody to be born again, and he wants to save people from hell by getting them born again. And if they're a Christian going the wrong direction and they're on their way to a hellacious walk on earth instead of a Christian heavenly walk on earth, then he wants them to repent. And so he wants them to change, wants them to go, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong and you need to change. And so that's what's going on with all that. So we need to change from glory to glory. Amen. And one of the ways that happens is that our new word tonight, new freshman for me at least, that but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Lord, open our eye. Let us totally have unveiled face before you. Let's look at the word face. You think you know what face means, but you never know. It might be something really cool. Face, the front part of a person's head, from the forehead to the chin, or the corresponding part in an animal face. The face as expressing emotion, expressing shown on the face. Happy face of children, the manifestation of an outward aspect, a manifestation or outward aspect of something. The unacceptable face of social drinking. Yeah, okay. A person of a particular type. The surface of a thing, especially one that is presented to the view or has a particular function. Y'all get anything out of this? At the front of a building. Be positioned with the face or someone or something. All right. So anyway, I don't know if we're getting more out of that or not, but expression shown from the face. You know, the face reveals what's in the mind, what's in the brain, the facial, your countenance. You know, it talked about Ezra, when Ezra had a burden to build the temple, and he was in captivity, and his captor basically says, you know, how come your countenance has fallen? Your face has fallen? Because he had a burden for, you know, so your face, with unveiled face, means open and uncovered, things uncovered. God's uncovering things. Not the shame, not the blame, not to do anything, but to here's something. Moses wore a veil, cover the glory that shone on his face, but to cover the fading of the glory of that glory. I don't know about that. That sounds nice. Paul adds that those original hearers of the Mosaic Law had a similar veil. Yeah, but there was a veil on their face. Yeah, that's really good. Okay, Paul contrasts the letter and the spirit as he argues for the legitimacy of an apostleship. At the end of the section, he characterized all who believe in Jesus as having unveiled face. So we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, glory of the Lord. Yeah, and that's really good. But you have to think about this in reality, is that everybody, even when people get saved, they all have a different image of Jesus, right? Which is probably all good. But some people seem to see more of the Lord than other people do. I don't know. I've seen people say they got born again, and I think, what happened to you? They say, well, I don't really remember. I'm going like, you know, like, how can you not remember? Not that it's not possible, but I'm just, you know, when you had your own experience. So everybody's had different experiences with having their face unveiled, with being, you know, born again. And Paul contrasts the letter and the spirit as he argues for this. Oh, he's arguing again. As he argues the legitimacy of his apostleship. All right. Really good. Unveiled face. We characterize all who believe in Jesus as having unveiled face. I'm trying to look at some of the stuff. Their having an unveiled face was evidence that Paul and Timothy had confidence in God and recognized that their adequacy came from God. They knew that the fruit born in the Corinthians' lives was from God and that the ministry God had entrusted them was reliable. Okay, so he's basically saying that their ministry to them unveiled their face. They're having an unveiled face was evidence. I'm reading this. If you click on that link, you know, it takes you to this in the second paragraph. It says that he's talking about Paul's ministry, that he had brought them to a place of having their face unveiled. Not just being born again alone unveils your face, but that the evidence that Paul and Timothy had confidence in God and recognized that they came from God, the fruit born in the Corinthians' life from the ministry of Paul and Timothy. So he's talking about the ministry, their ministry was what was, you know, unveiling the face of believers. In other words, getting them to open up and change and trust God and believe God. So he's saying here, this guy, whoever this is saying, his commentary is saying that their ministry was what unveiled their face, you know, believers' faces. Right, so when people get born again, some people jump right into amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Some people just struggle and battle to forgive themselves, and sometimes you wonder if they really got born again or not. But then when you begin to minister to them and you begin to bring them to a place of unveiling their face where they have no shame, where they kind of overcome those things. Some people have really lived horrible lives, and sometimes when they get gloriously saved, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes they overcome shame and guilt right away. Some people don't. So the ministry of Paul and Timothy and to the Corinthians was saying, we unveiled their face so they could come, you know, face to face with God, so to speak, in that sense. Yeah, that's really cool. I think we're going to learn something from this, and God is going to show us some stuff. So get ready for this tonight as we begin to understand some of this tonight. And some of you guys might get something. You do, let me know. I'm open to know what this means. Like I said, tonight's the first time I've read this in a long time. So with unveiled face, meaning that Paul and Timothy had ministered to them and helped unravel their lives, teaching them the Word of God. Why teach the Word of God? Does teaching the Word of God just move you forward all the time? Yeah, moving forward means you let go of the past. So in order to move forward, you have to let go of the past. So you have to teach people how to let go of the past. How do I let go of the past? So you teach them, and they come as they got word, and the teachers and the preachers teach and preach who are called to preach and teach, you know, unveil or uncover the face, their faces, so they can come knowing they come before God, unveil. So they learn how to look into the face of Jesus without, you know, falling down to the ground in shame. Why do you want to fall down to the ground in shame if you've been totally forgiven and washed? You don't. You may fall to the ground in gratitude, but not in shame. Oh, God, I'm such a horrible sinner. Yeah, you used to be. If you still are, well, you can still be not be. You can still not be. But it takes ministry. Sometimes ministry has to do that for you. And so there you go. And that's what we're talking about tonight a little bit. So really awesome, really cool. And so as you guys know, we've been talking about what's been going on with Julie and what's been happening with her the last year. So it's been a difficult time in a process that you guys didn't even know it. So when I brought it up to you, it's like you think I'm telling you, like I just found out, like it doesn't really mess with you. Of course it messes with you. But I've been being messed with it for a year, and have just taken things in layers and try to take one week, one day at a time. And really, really cool how God brings you through things. And it's still bringing me through things because, you know, she's in hospice. Her family basically got her there, you know, maybe to keep her out of pain. But they really believe that since the cancer spread, she's going to die soon. That's what they say and what they think. And everybody has a little bit different opinion, but that's basically why they have her there. And they took over and they got her there. So I thought it was a fine thing. Basically, but there's been some rough stuff going on there, and So anyway, just pray. Let's believe God to, you know, help in the midst of everything and help people get through things safely and soundly without wounding each other too much. You know, we won't get messed up. Yeah, I'm going to pause this just for a second. But the saddest thing for me was and has been is watching, you know, Judy going from, you know, for sure, with no chemotherapy. She, you know, when you have this kind of condition, she had inoperable pancreatic cancer. Inoperable means it was the tumor was in a place where all the blood vessels were right around it. If it had been cut, and she could have bled to death quickly. You know, that's why they call it inoperable. And they died from that quickly because there's nothing to stop it, really, except, you know, radiation. And then she was definitely getting radiation of any kind and went strictly to, you know, the natural means. Wonderful doctor. I've went with her many, many times. We sat, you know, if she got IVs, I sat there with her, you know, an hour, 2 hours getting IVs. And especially the last few times when she couldn't even drive. She loved to drive, so obviously, you know, even though she's in pain, she wanted to drive. So I go with her, and she drives, and I'm going, and we got all kinds of things going on, and we sit there for 1-2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, getting IVs and doing things. And so then after a while, I had to drive. So that was it was progressive. It was just so progressive, and you always believe, you're always hoping. But the big thing for Julie was with that feeling defeated, because that's what hates you, is you start feeling defeated. Like, you know, I think it's why she didn't really want to tell people, because, like, her whole life has been about, I'm healthy, I eat healthy, I do healthy. She talked about it a lot. She didn't brag about it, but she boasted about the fact that we can be healthy if you want to be healthy. And that was her, you know, her life. And she talked about it with all the family all the time in a good way. I tried to get her to do shows on PGN with, you know, talking about health. I even set her up the studio and got her in front of the cameras and let her learn how to do it. And she just never would, you know, quite do it for whatever reason. I don't know. But, you know, so it was difficult when she was the one hit and nobody else in the family who didn't eat right, didn't do things right, didn't work healthy, weren't exercising. And she was the one who's hit, and her mother and father are still alive. Her mother's not doing real well. But, you know, 90-something years old, some dementia thing because she's gotten older. And her father's really healthy, you know, really good, really strong, plays golf, and, you know, really a strong guy. And so here she is being the one, you know, whacked at. You know, it was humiliating. It was the humiliation that she was suffering through that, you know, was like, you could see it. I mean, it was just like really rough. And to me, that was the hardest part, watching that. I mean, sometimes she would read in pain, where she would kick her legs because she would be in so much pain. And that's why we finally, because she didn't want to take too much pain medicine. You know, so it was just horrible. I sat there and watched it month after month and, you know, watched her read in pain, literally groaning, you know, for hours. I don't want to, you know, get too rough on this, because this is why I don't talk about it, because I'll tell you everything. It was just like really a battle. And, you know, and it's every day. And I'm the only one there, right? The only one there. Most of the time, 99% of the time. And nursing her and giving her shots and giving her baths and doing all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, so to watch that all happen and to be alone with that, with her, was like quite a trip. But mainly the thing, you know, other than the pain, the horrible pain she went through, has been going through, and the shame of, you know, feeling like she had been defeated as far as, you know, her the one getting hit. You know, that was a big, big thing for her. And so that's what made me feel sad and grieved was that, even more than the other thing, believe it or not. All right, I think I'm talking too much again, but we'll get going on this. We're going to start talking about different things and believing God to, and we'll break things down little by little. I don't want to overwhelm anybody with stuff. I can talk now because, you know, everything changed. So, all right. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your friendship. Thanks for giving. Thanks for, you know, whatever the Lord tells you to do and being a part, just like you've always been before you even found out about it. Right. So, we're going to continue to believe God to raise her up. I mean, you know, yeah, you've been really quack, some pretty hard stuff. So she really needs your prayers. And, hang on just a minute. I'm going to get some things going. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back here. Thank you for giving tonight. Thanks for sharing and getting it going on here. Thank you for being a part of BGN. Okay. Hang on a minute. Things happen during the show, as you guys know. So we are taking care of business. If you want to give tonight and you don't have the link or want the link or would like to have the link, we'd love to get it to you. Just text me at 214-505-8719 and we will get it to you. Also, you can give by Zelle, Zelle. And you can also give by Cash App, through Cash App. Same thing with the phone number. Same thing with Zelle, the phone number that I just gave, 214-505-8719. And also by Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, Venmo. Are you familiar with that? You can also give through there. Same thing. All you need is the phone number, 214-505-8719. And you can get access to that and give to the Lord and give to PGN. That would be awesome. So join us on that and give unto the Lord. We're not money raisers, but we believe in bringing the offerings into the Lord and praying over them. I'll give you a second here. Right back. So if you have any questions about anything, no matter what it is, you're welcome to ask any question you'd like. I'll do my best to answer that if I can. And whether it be about Julie or be about the ministry or how we do things or whatever, you're welcome to ask questions. And I will do my best to answer them. All right. All right. So people are giving tonight, and I'm trying to keep up with all of it. Okay. Thank you for that. As I'm going to pause here and there because I'm keeping up with the offerings. Thank you very much. Okay. moving right along here. All right, thank you. And yes, Sarah, I saw your offering. Thank you very much for that. Thanks, guys. Very cool. I try to keep you guys up on what I can. I don't want to overwhelm anybody with stuff, but we just kind of talk about stuff little by little. And, we will, you know, let you know what I can. So, there's a lot of stuff happening all over the place. Okay, what next? I don't know. I'm just kind of like going here. We're going to take communion. So let's get ready to take communion. And I want to take communion about the unveiled face thing. Because, you know, when I get, this is kind of how I do things, how God has me to them at least, is I, you know, start looking like the scripture tonight about unveiled face. And I've read that many times before, you know, over the years. But tonight, you know, I went there and I felt like there's something there about it. Still don't have it all yet. Not near at all. But I think we're getting something on it. And so we are looking for, you know, hang on a second. There's stuff going on here. Hang on a second. Okay. Yeah, so when I get something like that, then I start asking the Lord for revelation. You know, I take communion. I say, I break this bread of this scripture. Break the bread of this scripture with me, Jesus, as I break your body, as I eat your body, and bless you, and drink your blood, and eat your body, that you break bread with me on this, you know, particular subject, which we will do tonight. And hopefully God will begin to unfold some cool things that we need to know. But obviously he wants us to know about this. So, and this is kind of a raw version of how I do it. So you can kind of see how I do it. I know that everybody has a little bit different way, but this is one thing I do. I step out by faith. I start opening my mouth, trying to talk about it. And if a little bit comes out, great. If a lot comes out, wonderful. If nothing comes out, you know, I don't really stop there. I try to go and take communion and ask God, open my eyes to it. Show me what you want me to know that will feed me, that will feed your people. And that way, you know, we get revelation. So as we take communion tonight, if you don't have your communion, get your communion ready. We're going to take it tonight. And we're going to believe God to open the scripture up to us and get our faces unveiled. What I'm seeing about the scripture is that God wants to unveil our faces, like our faces, it's like our soul, you know, has that potential of being completely open before God, but it's not. It is still closed. Get my water. I think unveiled face has something to do with unveiling our face. Just like we come and it says, you know, we are righteous, but then why are we always working on cleaning up? You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of not contradictive, but it's sounds a little confusing. Well, if our face is unveiled, then what do we need to unveil our face for? Well, if our soul is pure, if our soul is what most people say righteous, then why are we always having to clean it up? Why does it need to be saved all the time? You know, if it's already saved, why? Voila, yeah. So what does that mean? That's what I want to know. That's how I think. And I know you guys have different ways of thinking about things, too. It's really cool. But that's how I think, and that's what I do. So tonight as we do communion, I'm going to ask the Lord to unveil my face, you know, whatever, if anything, veiling my face, to unveil my face so I can behold the glory of God, right? This is not about going to heaven, friend. This is about now. Even in the Old Testament, God came down. God talked to people face to face. They weren't even born again, right? Moses was not born again. No. We're born again. We are the seed of God. They were the natural. They're the ones. They were the ones who they were the ones who God had chosen in the natural realm. But they were never really His seed, as far as you know, His DNA. They were not His DNA. They were Jewish. They were Israelites. They were Jews, but they were not the DNA of God. Never, not once, not one of them. Not any of them, ever. We are the DNA of God, man. I mean, this is amazing. This is literally amazing. And yet they saw God face to face. How much us? How much us, man? We're the seed of God. We're his children. When they met God in the wilderness, when they met God at all, when they talked with God, even when God came down and wanted to talk to them, they were scared to death. No, Moses, please, we don't want to talk to God. You talk to God for us. And they didn't even want to talk to God because they were so separated. And yet they were still he was still their God, and they were his people. And yet they couldn't even listen to him talk because it was so scary. Right? You don't remember the scripture about that, right? Look it up. It's really awesome. And yet everybody brags about, oh, I just want to be a Jew. Well, being a Jew is awesome. I'd love to be a Jew, you know, and actually that'd be cool. You know, we think you have some bloodline things there, but anyway, but I don't, who cares about that? I mean, as far as it'd be cool, right? Yeah, but much better to be the very DNA of the Lord Jesus, man. I mean, that's when you're truly connected. The Jews are the ones that God used in a blessed way to bring Jesus to us. Oh my God, if it hadn't been for them or God choosing them, we wouldn't have our Jesus. But now that we got our Jesus, we got stuff that they never even dreamed of having as just outside of Christ before he came. We are the DNA of God, man. That's why the Bible says when you're born again that you cannot sin anymore, and your spirit man can't sin anymore. Because it says he that is born of God cannot sin, cannot, because his seed, God's seed, the DNA, remains in you. The DNA remains in you, friend. You got to get a hold of that. I mean, let that just soak up into your little brain, like my little brain is soaking it up like a sponge, and going, my God, the Jews ain't got nothing on us, Ralph. We're literally sons and daughters. I mean, we got the DNA. We are born. Our spirit man, if you tap into our spirit man, if we could find a medical device that could tap into our spirit man, you know what your DNA you'd get? The DNA of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. My God, man. You know, I mean, Judy, you know, the whole thing with Judy was like, she asked me, you know, as she very seldom asked me as a prophet anything, because when you're a prophet, you're not usually welcome as a prophet in your own household. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, for the most, they try real hard, but it's, the Bible even says it's difficult. So, you know, so as she was, you know, when things were going bad again, and she asked me, she said, do you think I'm going to die? I'm going like, you know, I'm thinking like, well, you can either, you know, we don't want you to die, but you can, if you die, you're going to be with Jesus, you know? Yeah. But if you live, you're going to be with me. So which one do you think you should choose? You know, that's what, I didn't say that those words exactly, but you know, she's prepared herself and all this. I mean, you know, whatever, but it's been a difficult process when you actually face the actual moment when you feel like it's happening to you, which happened many times. I mean, I'm going to tell you these stories as we go along here, but I mean, some of the stuff we went through was like, oh my God. You know, one time we were taking her to the store. She wanted to go to the store. She couldn't even hardly do anything. She wants to go to the store. I want to go to the store right now. Okay. You know, help her get in the car. And she's over there slumped down in the car. And I thought she was going to die on me in the truck. I thought she was going to die on me in the truck. And this is a long time ago. Yeah, we went to all kinds of things. I thought she was going to die on me in the truck. I'm sitting there watching her trying to drive, weeping and scared. And all of a sudden, I went to praying in tongues. quietly, because I don't want to mess with her. She was like having a hard time, and now loud noises mess with her. My voice can really get loud. So I'm praying in tongues. I said, the name of Jesus, devil, you're not having her. You can't take her. I won't let you have her.
I said, and listen to this, y'all. This is what I said, and God is my witness. I said, God, you cannot have her. No, you cannot. That's what I said. I did. I'm confessing my sin. I said, God, you can't have her. I'm sorry. Huh? No way. And we're driving down the road. Right. So all of a sudden, I'm looking over there at her, and she just kind of like went from slumped over, you know, not completely, but slumped over. Like, I'm just like, why am I in the truck with her driving down the road going to the store of all things? You know, and then the experience I had in the store was freaky. I mean, it was freaky, y'all. The stuff that went on in there. I mean, you know, it was just, it only happened one time, but it was like, so I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling God, you can't have her. That's what I'm doing. A devil, you ain't going to take her, and God, you can't have her. No, not now. Not, she's yours, but you can't have her. Not now. No way. And I looked over there, and this is on the way back from the store, right? That's all the other stuff that happened on the way to the store and at the store was, like, blowing my mind. You know, I think she's going to die any minute. And this is, you know, like, months ago. And because it went up and down. And, oh, God, it's hard to talk about it. But, so she starts, like, coming alive. I mean, literally, she's, like, she propped up. She set back up. She goes, like, hello. I go, hi. You know, like, you're back, you know. She said, are you okay? Yeah. Somebody, she said, man, that was bad, whatever it was. I said, yeah, I know you should see it from my end. Girlfriend. She let me call her girlfriend sometimes. I said, girlfriend, you know, I thought you were like, you know, I mean, and then I told her what happened in the store. What happened in the store, for some reason, that day was like a day from hell. I mean, oh, God, when I can tell you what happened in the store, you know, from my perspective and what I saw and what was happening, literally. I wish I had the video from that day in the store. God, it was like, dear Jesus, save me, you know, help me. I was ticked off. I was mad at God for a minute, you know. I'm sure we'd be honest with you. I was mad at the devil. It's like, I couldn't figure out who's trying to get her, God or the devil. I was like going, God, if you're trying to take her, I'm sorry. Today just ain't the day. I ain't going to let you have her. Not today. Nope. And devil, if you're trying to take, and so I went back and forth like, I don't know who's doing what around here, but neither one of you, whichever one it is, neither one of you can have her today. And I was fighting, ticked off. Not any person. But there was something spiritual going on, and death was trying to come and take her then. And I said, to hell with whoever you are. You are not going to take her. Not now. Yep, not now. And he didn't. He didn't want to move her. Maybe both. I'm not sure what God is sending the angel of death to get her. I'll talk about it more later, but wow. Never had an experience like that. That was one of the defining moments of reality of that I had of death coming, like, you know, the angel of death coming, like, in, you know, Israel coming to get, you know, the firstborn. And I'm going, she ain't a firstborn. You can't have her. You know that. What do you think you're doing? No. And I wasn't sure what was happening. It was scary. It was wild, you know. And I know the Bible a little bit, so I'm thinking all these different things, right, are going through my head. And it was wild. So I don't know how to get up on that. I'm not even sure. Anyway, as y'all can tell, I'm not afraid to talk about things. I just couldn't talk about them before because, you know, I couldn't talk about them. Judy wouldn't let me. And I honored her in that best I could. But I did honor. I completely never told anybody completely until the last few days. And I had to get her permission to do that because we had a whole different set of things going on. And so I just kind of like said, that's it. And
So I got God's approval, and that was good enough for me. So anyway, sorry if I'm not sorry, but you're my family, so who else do I talk to that understand a little bit, you know? I don't really have got a family. So. So, well, God is good, man. I'm telling you.
Woo!
Oh, my God. All right. Let's try that. I will make it through this gloriously, if I will. Yes, I will. God is good. All the time. Even when it ain't looking so good. He is good. All the time. And that's not just some, I'm not trying to hype it. I literally, God knows, just ask him. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. All right. So, help me, Lord, to hear your voice in this glorious time of communion with your people as we take supper together as a family, supper of Jesus. Really good. Really, really good. Wow, he is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Your tremendous love is more than my body can bear sometimes. But I will suck it up. I mean, soak it up, not suck it up. I will soak it up, and maybe soaking it up helps you suck it up. Something like that. All right, y'all ready for this? I hope you are. I hope you examine yourself, of course. Examining yourself, you heard me talk about this maybe a few times, but in case somebody new is listening, to examine yourself, the Bible says, therefore, whoever eats this bread in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. So it says, when you examine yourself, what do you examine yourself for? Well, I believe that you're examining yourself for, you know, if you have sin, you had sin 5 minutes ago. Oh, I can't take me, I had sin 5 minutes ago. If you got a sin that's hitting you pretty regular and you want to get free of it, take communion tonight. That's how you examine yourself. You examine yourself. What's your motive? What's my motive? Do I really want to be free? Am I just playing a game? What am I doing? So if you truly want to have the right motive, if you want to have the right intentions, if you want to have the right attitude, the right spirit toward this thing, and you don't have it and you just want it, take communion. Examine yourself. What you're examining for is your motive, your intention. Not whether you have sin or not, it's whether you want to get free of that sin or not, or want to. If you want to, and you don't want to right now, but you want to, then take communion to help you want to. We got to depend on him for everything, friend. To want something, you got to ask him to give you the desires of your heart. God, give me your desires. What is that desire? That means you don't have that desire. Give me your desire, Jesus. That's what this is all about. Not about, I got all the desires of the Lord, therefore I'm worthy to take the Lamb of God. No, it's so he can give you his desires, so you take communion to get his desires that you don't have yet, and you want them. That's how you examine yourself. That's how I see it. You can take it or leave it if you want. There you go. All right, so if you're going to take it right now, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received of the Lord that which I also have delivered to you, people of God, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. How do you think that felt, knowing he was being betrayed? Betrayed. Not disliked. Not hated. Betrayed.
and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We bless, we break, and we eat. That ain't what death story would like. I got to tell you more about that later. That one, like, my God. I've never had that one before. Man. I was shook up. I was like, what is happening here? Who's trying to take her? Yeah. All right, open my eyes, Jesus, about this. I'm asking you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, Jesus said. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. We remember you, Lord. We thank you. Let's drink, please. I don't know if you want to hear that about the angel of death story, but it was the most real I've ever had with what I thought was happening, the angel of death. But if you want to know, I'll tell you about it sometime. It may not mean much, but it meant a lot to me. So I had some experiences that were like, ooh-ah, for sure. And that's what shook me up, is because I'd never had that before. I never had that one. And I'm telling God, you know what you can do, God? You can stuff it. You're not taking it. You sent the angel of death to come get her. If that's what's happening here, it's what it looked like to me. No way. And I was ticked off and scared at the same time. Because when you're talking to God that straight, I'm not talking to God straight. And I didn't care what he thought at that moment. I didn't. I know it sounds rough, but when you haven't experienced something before like that, wow. It's like you're going, what the heck is happening here? I mean, what is going on? I couldn't have figured it out. And I'm pretty good at discerning things most of the time. But that one was baffling me. So I don't know what the angel of death looks like, but I got my first glimpse of how something like that has happened, because that was happening before the store, driving to the store, and it accelerated. We got in the store, and things started manifesting, bro. Like, oh, God. I don't know if I could tell it right now or not. It's just, it's hard to talk about. Strangest things I've ever had happen to me before. And it was over a loved one, you know, someone I love. And like, too. And y'all wouldn't like me ticked off. I was ticked off. Judy never knew it. But I was arguing and fighting one minute with the devil, the next minute with God. If this angel belongs to you that's come to try to take my girlfriend, up yours. Yeah. I hope y'all still love me after this. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't apologize for sharing that. And I'm not through sharing it, but there's part of it. Well, I'm a fighter. I don't think y'all know that much about me on that. Maybe you do. But I'm a fighter. And you guys heard me talk about that story where I was in high school and the bully of the school was picking on somebody who couldn't fight back, and I knew he couldn't fight back. And I'm not a fighter. I'm not into fighting. This guy was a boxer, a well-known boxer, you know, not professionally or anything, but in the school. My best friend, when he found out I was going to have a fight with him, came and warned me. He said, Randy, this guy's going to knock you out. I mean, he's like really good. And that's my best friend. He would had been my best friend a couple of years before that. He was still my friend. He wasn't my best friend at that time, but he cared about me, you know. He said, hey, Randy, you know, you don't want to fight this guy. But I'd already told the guy when I saw him picking on the guy, I went up to him and I said, hey, you know, and he's in front of a lot of people. You know, I said, hey, what do you think you're doing? No, you want to fight somebody, you fight me. I'll meet you out at the farm, FFA farm, after school. And, I mean, the word got around, bro. People showed up. It was the first fight I'd ever had where, you know, anyway, so this guy who was supposed to be a whoop-up, as you heard me talk about this before, he, you know, I don't know, a bunch of cars showed up out there, more people than I thought of. Everybody wanted to come see the fight, you know. There, people love fights, I guess. I don't know. I just remember it was a fighter. And so he puts his dukes up. I put my dukes up. And I'm a little bit nervous, you know, because he's not a big guy or anything, but he's supposed to be really good. And my best friend told me that. He wouldn't lie to me. And, you know, so maybe the fear did it. I don't know, but something kicked in me that I don't think I knew was there. And he was out in, you know, probably less than a minute. And and I'm not a fighter, and I'm not bragging that I'm a fighter. I'm not. But something kicked in. And so this is kind of what happened at the store. That thing, whatever that thing is, when I saw things going on and it was obvious, and I've never had that happen before, ever. We've gone shopping in that store many times. Never had this. I mean, my God. And I'm ready. I got my dukes up. And I don't care who it is. If it's God, if it's the devil or the angel of death, whatever the heck you are, whoever you are, you know, I was ready to get it on. I was getting it on. I did get it on. I couldn't do it in front of her because, you know, she was, you know, just, she was literally, you know, I wasn't sure I was going to have to hold her up the whole time in the store because she was slumped over, kind of like, you know, and she wanted to go, so I wasn't going to stop her. She didn't go by herself. And this is long before she got bad. This is like one of the first times she got bad, and months ago. And, yeah, so, my God, I'm going to stop. Anyway, saying that fighter kicks in, and most everybody didn't know, like in high school, they didn't know I was a fighter because I wasn't a fighter. I was a football player, and I was a, you know, an athlete. That's what I was. I wasn't a fighter. Didn't like fighting. People try to fight me, and I just wouldn't fight them. I don't want to fight. You know, I'm not a fighter too much. And so get my sister to duke me, I might, you know, cover up pretty fast and try to run or something. But she was tough, man. That girl could fight, boy. My sister, from my sister, 2 years older than me. You don't want to fight her. Hey, she's tough, man. Yeah. But when it kicks in, like when I used to ride bulls, doing that, I'd be scared to death. I'd drink a couple of beers back in the heathen days and get on that bull and ride that bull. And I won some, a little bit, not much, but. And hanging on, I think I hung on by fear. Whatever it is kicks in, something kicks in, and it, you know, it's on. So that day with her, it was like, wow, I don't care who it is. And I wasn't sure because I couldn't figure it out. Didn't look like the devil, but it didn't look like God either. It looked like the angel of death, literally, and manifested through a person. We were going through the freezers. You know, I'm trying to open the doors for her. She can't even hardly function, right? I mean, it's obvious that she can't function. People could see there was something, you know, like, what's wrong with her? And I'm with a shout out, hey, I'm taking her shopping because she wants to go shopping. That's what I'm doing here. You know, because I just like, what are everybody staring at, you know? And this person came up and started, like, you know, butting up against her, like we were in the egg section. And he just, you know, right, got next to her. And, I mean, put his face, like, I mean, that, I've never seen it happen with anything with my wife or me or anybody. I've never seen it happen with anybody. This guy's, you know, weird-looking guy. He's coming up here and he's putting his head up around her, like looking at her bag, looking at stuff. You know, and it wasn't like a official. It was like some regular guy, you know. And so he went away. I looked at him like, you know, what the heck are you doing? What are you trying to do, man? It was obvious, you know. And so we went around to the bread section, a completely different area. And there he came back again, same guy, doing the same thing. And I'm going like, I was getting mad, you know, not necessarily at him, but at what I felt like was like, because she looked like she was dying, right? And I thought, well, whoever, you know, so my thought processes went, if whoever trying to get her, I don't care who you are not going to take her. No. And that's what started happening. The second time around when that guy came, same guy came back around, did the same nosy little creepy looking little thing. I mean, just, he looked like a pretty intelligent person. You know, he wasn't like a bum or anything. He was like dressed nice and, you know, and he was like creeping around like he was trying to do something to her or something, you know, like grab her. I don't know. It was really weird. And I'm telling the whole story, aren't I? I'm getting really carried away. And so and she says to me, she says, I'm going to go over and, you know, do something, which is on the other side of the store. And, you know, a minute later, you know, I'm standing there trying to get some other stuff. She's walking away from me. I'm going, where is she? Thinks she's going. She's walking away, stumbling around a little bit, like, little, you know, not too bad, a little bit. And all of a sudden I hear some people going, ah! You know, like I thought she had fallen over and passed out in Whole Foods. So I'm going like, and I was trying to tell a guy what I wanted, trying to work on something. And I turned around and said, oh my God. But nobody was running over there. So I thought, well, no, ain't nothing going on. So, and then I looked over there real close and she was over there sitting down in the cafeteria thing, you know, doing some stuff. And so it was really weird. And then y'all to peek it out. I'm seeing she's over there sitting there. She didn't pass out. And those noises weren't coming from her falling down or something. And I see her sitting over there in the cafeteria area, and I realize she's okay. And then as I'm standing there, I'm walking around to keep my eye on her, and then there comes that same dude again. The same dude came walking over there, looking around at her. I mean, looking around at her, not about her. The same person looking around at her, and you can tell you when the store official, I know all of them. They all look like a bunch of hippies. This is no hippie. Yes. And then I just went, that's it. It's a spirit of death. Come to get her. God, you sent her. The spirit of death, come get her. I got over there, and by the time I got over there, he was gone. And then that's when I realized, so we're going to get out of here. And because I wanted to get out of here, whatever that if God sent the spirit of death to come get you, you know, I didn't tell her. I didn't say anything to her about this at first. Now we're going to go. We're going to go. Why? Because we're going to go. We've got to go. And I didn't want to tell her that stuff because I don't want to try to explain it to her, right? Because she couldn't handle anything. So we get in the truck and we're going back to the house. And man, I'm praying in tongues underneath my breath and I'm ticked off. I was ticked off. And I'm praying, and I'm finding the devil, and I'm telling God, if you want her, I'm sorry, it ain't the right day. You can't have her. And literally, I'm saying this to God, and quietly, under my breath, aggressively. And because she's kind of halfway out, she didn't pay attention to what I'm doing. You know, she's never like this, very healthy person. And after I already did that prayer and did that thing, told God he couldn't have her, a few seconds later, she's like going, hey, I'm back. I'm going like, my God. And then I kind of told her a little bit what happened, and she went, wow, I believe it. Something weird was going on. I said, yeah, I know. It was. All right, anyway, there's so much for that thing. I honestly got that plan on. I wasn't going to go that far, and I got a lot more stuff, y'all, that I've been through with all this, and I'm just glad I can talk about it now. So get ready for my, you know, if you don't mind me talking about it, I don't think you do. We'll talk about it and maybe learn something. Okay, let's pray over offerings tonight. We took communion. If I forget something, please let me know because I'm like all over the place right now. I'm all over the place. I'm not even sure I know what I'm doing. That's what's scary. What are you doing? Don't ask me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to share and worship and give. Give my love and give the things that God's given me to share with you.
That's what I'm doing. And I hope I'm doing okay because I can't tell. All right. Let's try to move on here. We're going to move on. That's enough for now. I just don't want to overwhelm anybody. Yeah, it's hard to know where to start because some of this stuff is so fresh for y'all, and some of this stuff nobody knows but Judy and I. I mean, I don't, unless she told people, I don't even know if she told anybody or not. But we've had some really wild things happen. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, interesting shows in the next, however long I've been talking about it. Okay. Somebody said I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Well, you hear me laugh and you hear me cry. I mean, that's just the way I am. I'll be laughing 1 minute, crying the next. And I do that whether Julie's doing, whether anybody, whether everything's going good or not. You know, I can have everything going great. And I'm a weeper. I'm a weeping prophet. I'm a laughing prophet. I got a little bit of both going on there. All right. So, okay, I'm trying to move on here. I'm going to pray over offerings tonight. I hope I'm not, well, people tell me I'm doing okay, so I just trust you. Good. Okay. Going through the offerings here, I think I pretty well got most of them. And we're going to pray over them now. All right, you want to pray over them now? We're going to pray over them now. I can't believe I shared that tonight. That was, like, surprising. Yeah. I think God still likes me too, I think. You know, I'm pretty sure that. But it's amazing that she changed after that. Yeah. I don't know if I changed timing. I'm not sure if I changed anything. I don't know. I don't even know what happened. Except I know I got wild and crazy. And Judy never even knew it until I told her later what happened. She was out of it. Never seen her like that before. I've never seen her like that before. That's why it's so scary. It's like, what is going on? What is going on? What is happening here? And I don't like this. I'm just telling God, I don't really like this. I don't like any of this, but I don't like this today because, like, it's just scary. And then when I get scared, I guess I get, you know, and you guys like that, you get ticked off. Like, I'm ready to fight. Whatever it is, whatever's going on. I got my dukes up, and we're fixing to find out, you know, hopefully find out what's really up. Yeah. I came out swinging. I'll be right back. I'm going to pray over offering. Okay. I'm here. Thank you again for being with us tonight. Thanks for what you always do every week. You know, you always give, you always help, and we're going places. I got all kinds of good news, all kinds of good things, all kinds of stuff. I've kind of panned it all out when I can give it and share it is the key. That's the thing. And, you know, maybe one of these days everybody will believe. I know some people, most of my friends believe me, but some people I think, oh, he's just like saying that. No, I'm not. I'm not just saying that. Yeah, and I think people are little by little figuring that out. I think, I hope, I know most of my friends are. So that's good. That's all I care about, that. But I talk straight to people who need to talk straight to, and do the best I can to do it right. All right, y'all. Thank you very much. Let's pray over offerings tonight. I think we're there. Okay. Okay. Okay a lot. Okay. All right. I'm right here. Give me a second. Okay. All right. So we just talked about that a little bit about what I was dealing with was I wasn't sure where the devil was coming to take her. We're at the store, right? Whole Foods. Of all places for this to happen is at Whole Foods. And because she wanted to go shopping, you know, and so, okay, you know, we can argue with you about that. So, so the thing that happened was, I'm like going, you know, what is this? I didn't know what it was. The spirit of death, you know, coming to get her for the Lord or the devil. I mean, it didn't seem like the devil, but at the same time, it was just creepy because I'd never had that happen before. I've never seen that before. I wasn't there when the angel of death came. I don't know what the angel of death looked like. I know what this guy looked like. This guy looked like a regular guy, except he had this, he was just creepy, not evil, but just like, you know, who does he think he is? I mean, my wife talks to people all the time. And I've walked off with her talking to people and finished doing the shopping while she's talking for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I do that all the time, you know. She likes to talk to people, so I like it too. So I like to let her do it, and I take off. But this guy wasn't wanting to talk. He was, like, sniffing around like a dadgum dog or something. And, you know, I just, you know, he wasn't wanting to visit and share and be like, hey, how are y'all? Y'all looking familiar? He wasn't none of that. It was like pure, like a hound dog or something, sniffing, you know, trying to, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but, and he was dressed well, not a bad looking guy, not big, kind of regular, you know, maybe 6 foot, 5'9", dressed well, he went a bum, didn't look like a thief, you know, but I just like, I couldn't figure it out, and so, I tried to work it through my brain, going my spirit, like going, what is this? Who is this? Is this, you know, because he was kind of dressed nice and like, you know, like cool looking sort of, but yet it was all creepy to me because I never had that happen before. But plus she was like dying. It's like he could smell death or something on her or something. I don't know what it was. And he was like a hound dog, like sniffing and like, you know, sort of almost. And like, I mean, literally sticking his head around, like, it was just creepy, y'all. And I wasn't just seeing that. It's like, she noticed it a little bit, and she was out of it. So who is that guy talking to? I don't know. Trying to, you know, I just act like I didn't see it. And then later I told her what I thought it was. And so, anyway, I did the angel of death, nice-looking guy. This guy was a nice-looking guy. I'm not sure what the angel of death looked like. But whatever was going on, he had run across a bulldog that day, and basically that's about that. So anyway, I'm trying to clarify that story and make sure I get the right information there so you don't get the wrong image in your mind. That I don't want to be misrepresented or misunderstood. All right? Okay. So, all right, let's pray tonight. Let me check one more time the offering and see if anything else come in before I get going. What's going on here? Yeah. It looks good. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, $2.40. Thank you, Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, guys. I hope you guys never have to go through anything close to what I've gone through. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. It's just been like, wow. But, you know, I know we all have our struggles and we all have our battles. We're all dealing with some kind of something. And I just pray that God strengthens you guys, opens your eyes to whatever, you know, like I'm asking God to open my eyes. I ask God to open my eyes up on a pretty good, just about every day. Especially taking communion. Open my eyes, Lord. I don't know what I'm not seeing. I know there's a lot I'm not seeing, so show me. What do I need to see? What do I need to know? I don't care how, you know, if you want to whoop me, you want to spank me, you want to do something with me, or you want to, what do you want to do with anybody or anything? Let me know and show me if you can. If you can trust me, show me. Help me to know so I can agree with you on it. Because God is looking for people to agree with him. And that's what God's, you know, getting you to do, you guys to do, is get God's mind on something and to come in an agreement on it. You know, yeah. So thank the Lord for that agreement. Will two or more agree as touching any trouble, any things going on, where it comes to what God is saying. Amen. That's why prophets are important, because sometimes they can give, you know, prophet information and give us information that we can put the pieces of the puzzle together and make a decision on how we're going to do, like that day with her, like I'm talking about tonight. That was, you know, I mean, I didn't have much time to pray about that. We were just, she wanted to go to the store, and all of a sudden, you know, like, she was like, you know, doing stuff she had never done before, nodding, you know, just talking weird, and going like, that looks like the spirit of death to me. I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. And so we loaded up my car, the truck, my truck, and took off. And so we were off. And a whole new thing. I'm saying, God, open my eyes to whatever is going on in this store right now. Really bad to me. You know, whatever it was, I didn't like it. I didn't care who it was. But that's why I needed God to help me understand. You know, you got to show me before. I'm not going to come into agreement with something. You want me to come into agreement with this? You know, this is tough, God. I'm telling you what it is. I said, you want me to come into agreement with this? No way. I will not come in agreement with you. You cannot take her today. And I wouldn't come in agreement with him on it, if that's what was going on. I thought that, you know, open my eyes, Lord. What am I doing? I'll come in agreement with anything. You know, that's what I always say until that was going on. And I said, I don't come in agreement with that. I will not agree with that. Find somebody else. And I know Julie's not going to agree with you. And I asked her husband, I sure ain't going to agree with it. Not today. You know, that kind of went on. So I opened my eyes. Like, God opened my eyes. I couldn't get her to come in agreement because she was, like, out of it, you know. I mean, she was out of it, y'all. It's hard to explain, out of it. But, I mean, I'm basically carrying her, you know, not carrying her physically, you know, like holding her up by her arm. And because she was determined to go shopping. So who can stop a woman from going shopping? It ain't going to be me. I ain't standing in the way of that. So, wow, it was crazy. And so, you know, I had nobody to agree with me on that. And I don't have to have a physical human being, but sometimes, you know, that it helps, especially when you're dealing with each other. And something going on with each other, but there was no. She couldn't agree on anything. She was like, she was helpless, and I'm because I'm feeling like I have no help, you know, in the natural realm with her. I'm getting a little bit nervous. Like, you know, you think I'm going to let you have her like this, in this condition, thinking never in this condition. I'm not going to let it happen. And so that day, I think something went on. I still don't understand it, but she got better suddenly. Like, she, like, woke up and went, hey, I think I'm back now. I'm all like, yeah, my God. You were like, you know, I tell her the truth, you know, and stuff. I said, it looked like you were, like, trying to dial me. And then I started telling her, I think the angel of death was trying to get you over there at the eggs, in the egg section. You know, literally. And then we went to a whole other section. There he came right back again, doing the same thing, sticking his nose, like, up around, not trying to talk to be friendly. He was like,
You know, I'm going like, I saw it again. I'm going like, okay, now I know I'm not seeing stuff. First of all, I could have been, I know I wouldn't see anything, but I could have been seeing something. Maybe I misjudged it. Then he kind of did the same thing again. It was, didn't get any groceries. Wasn't grabbing for nothing out of the freezer. You know, nothing. He was just, it was creepy. And then the third time he shows up over there when she decided to walk over there somewhere. I didn't know where she was going. I couldn't go with her because she, I was talking to the hang on a minute. She was gone and stumbling around over there. And I thought she had fallen over and, you know, whatever. And the whole store's going to, you know. And then I saw her a little bit later. I looked and there she was over there sitting down in the cafeteria. And there came that same guy again doing the same thing, snooping around. And, I really got mad. That's when I got mad. Nobody knew I was mad. But on the outside, I'm going, hey, how you doing? On the inside, I'm going like, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming. And I walked over there like a, you know, whatever. And I said, we're leaving. We're getting out of this place. He said, why do you want to get out? But you can already talk. I'm going like, because I said so. That's it. You're shopping. That's it. We're gone. And, so, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I'm saying it again, but I think I'm still trying to get revelation on it. When I eat communion, I talk about things and chew the cut on it so I can maybe God will show me some more things. But either way, she got better. So, Terrence, Denise, I'm sorry. I don't know what that's about. But there you go. Amen. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit with her, God, and bring her to new levels of your ministry with her. And her ministry and her calling, God, to hear from you, or hear from you through prophets, hear from God through other people that you know they're truly a man of God or woman of God, and not just getting it half the time not getting it about certain things, and hearing from God, and then coming into agreement with that. God is looking for people to come into agreement with it, with things. If sometimes prophets get things and have a hard time agreeing with them. Like, I'm sure God was trying to tell people about Trump, but they weren't listening. I'm sure, I would think. You know, so sometimes we need somebody to agree, find agreement, listen to God, hear God. God is looking for people to agree with him. He doesn't need a bunch of them, he needs one, but you can get a word from God and not come into agreement with it. I've done it. I didn't like the Trump thing either at first, but I'm going like, Biden scared me. With his, stuff, like, we want, it's not necessarily him, but some of the stuff they are into, like, we want more of that. I don't think so. So, I didn't like it either. And then I didn't come into agreement with it at first until God had to sit me down, hold me by the hand, and explain it to me and show me why. And then I went, oh, God, yeah. So the very thing I've been thinking about, bring everything to an end and let's move on, that's what you're saying? Oh, I can come into agreement with that. Yeah, so let's do that. So agreement, Andrea. Barbara, $7. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for second chances, giving people second chances. Second chance, I don't know what that means exactly, but people giving people second chances. They mess up the first time. I think we can get a lot of chances, but depends on what we're talking about. I'm not exactly what this is talking about, but second chances. Teach people that God gives them second chances if they really want them, if they really desire them, if they really want to change. Then God gives second chances. If they're not going to change, and He knows they're not going to change, whatever, then He doesn't give a second chance. But pleading before God, like Abraham did, for Sodom and Gomorrah, that if there's just 10 righteous, got it down to 10 from 40 to 10. So thank you both for that spirit of intercession. And looking for every opportunity to give some, sinners a second chance. In some cases, God knows that there isn't a second chance, but He gets us to, plead on their behalf. Amen, Lord, for that, for Barbara, in Jesus' name. Amen. Greg, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Thank you, Lord, did I give you that word about adjoining last night? Was that you? Because I just heard the same thing, that same word again. And Carmen even sent that to me later. With a kind of a cool meaning to it. And so I'm not sure who I gave that word adjoining to last night, but I'm hearing that same word again with you. Is that you I gave it to, Greg? I mean, are you listening?
if you listen to this later, but yeah, y'all help me remember that. When you give like 20, 30 words, you know, a night and a night, it's going to be a hard time to remember which one you gave what to. Conjoining, yeah. Nicole says she remembered me saying the word conjoining. Yes. Yeah. But you don't, like me, you don't remember who it was. I don't remember because when you prophesy to people over and over and over, you know, as far as it, one person after the other, sometimes you just lose track of who you said that to. Anyway, we'll figure it out. But I'm hearing that same word, adjoining. So, wow. You know, I'll send that information to you about that a little later here. And what God has joined, you know, joined. Maybe I should have it up to, you know, my history here. Okay. Here we go, Wednesday. Yeah, the word adjoining. Okay. Wow. All right, I'm going to read it to you again. If I give it to you last night, you're the one, then I guess he's doubling up on it. You know, adjoining, like, of a building, a room, or a piece of land. Wait a minute, that's not the right. Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to be a little slow tonight, it looks like. So, conjoining, not adjoining, conjoining. I spelled it wrong. Thank you for somebody helping me out there. Nicole, thank you so much. Conjoining definition. Here we go. Okay, Greg, I'm going to get my stuff together one way or the other. I'm going all over the place tonight. Please bear with me. Conjoined means being, coming, or brought together so as to meet, touch, or overlap, or unite. Another word for conjoining, to join together, unite, combine, associate. Example of conjoin is to renovate buildings. We're conjoined with a newly designed building. All right, so it's about join and conjoin. The difference between join and conjoin, both refer to two or more things being combined together. However, join is more useful for people. It also indicates that a thing, person being linked to another. Conjoined is more about two things being merged. And their separation is difficult, sometimes impossible. Ooh, you feel that burning? Conjoined is more about two things being merged, and their separation is difficult, sometimes impossible. Wow, I didn't get that last night. I do not remember that part. That is cool, man. My God. Okay, wait a minute. Is that Greg there? Give me a word about restoration. Okay. I don't have my contacts up on my new phone, so I guess that's Greg. I think, yeah, it's Greg. Poor Hill. Dude, conjoining. You got to get into that word, especially that thing I just read. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Awesome. Yeah, you got to get into that. That's good. That is really, really good. Okay, plus I'm having a little struggle with my new phone tonight because it's a completely different phone. And it's trying to mess with me a little bit. All right. Okay, I'm trying to move on here. All right, thank you, Jesus. Paulette, thank you, Lord, for Paulette, $15. Thank you, Lord, for you, Paulette. Thank you, Jesus, for God wanting to show you how he's going to add to your life, multiply. He adds, and then he multiplies. And a different level of increase in your life, like you maybe get a 10% increase. You want to move that increase from 10% to 20% or from 20 to 30 or whatever that is, that God is decreeing over you tonight how to increase your receiving, you know, where you receive more. Like you gave $5 to a friend and you find a $50 check in the mail the next day, you know, type thing. And you get the $50 away and then it goes up a level. You get $50 and you get $5,000 back. Like wow, my it went up. It my ability to increase, to receive, increased. And God, as you speak, the Bible says if we obey the voice of the Lord our God and do it, then, you know, he will increase us in all these different places, like in our fields and our family and our increase everything. So, Lord, I thank you for increasing her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sally, $16. Thank you, Sally, for that. I got your email today, and thank you for your love sent toward Judy and myself. Thank you for that. I love you, too. We love you, too. We thank you for your love for PGN for us. Amen. God bless you. And thank you, Lord, for Sally. $16 tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for that love round with you. I see, you know, I see the love of God. I think I spoke to you last time. The love of God. I see the love of God just increasing and you getting snippets and glimpses into the glory of God. Condemnation. And condemnation being broken off. I think some areas you maybe don't realize that you have condemnation going on. And so God's going to show you those things. It's kind of like we did with me, Sally. Remember talking about this many times, how that when I started taking communion, I had a big problem with that. I got God every day. I mean, once a week would be enough. Like, my God, every day? Why? And then I tried. I didn't make it. He asked me one day. I thought I told you to take it every day. What are you doing? Like, okay, but why? I asked him. And I get, you know, sometimes with God, I get a little bit like, I want to know. I just like, but why? Like, why? I want to know why. And I do it. I'm trying my best. And I find out why. But you tell me why. So I could understand it. And then he started going to the condemnation thing. And I didn't think anything about condemnation for myself. Boy, God started showing me stuff. Oh, my God. And so I started taking communion. And he said, because it's dealing with condemnation. A lot of communion, one of the things it does, major things for me, it does, it deals with condemnation. Because when you're trying to flow in the supernatural realm of blessing, the prosperity of whatever God wants you to do and ministering to people or just moving in the supernatural at all, condemnation is right there, Sally, to whack-a-mo us on a regular basis. Because what do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? You can't get out of that hole. You belong in that hole. That's where you belong. You're going to stay there. You ain't getting out because you know why. You know why. Oh, you know why. And it could be nothing, you know. I mean, it is nothing. But condemnation just broke off. You know, we just all of a sudden we get up off our bed and we're walking. We're going, my God. What was that? Condemnation. And so I see God really doing that and showing you his love in a very powerful way so you can grasp his love at a deeper level, you know, the depth of the love of God. Wow, I will take some of that too. My God, that's amazing. All right, Sarah, $20. Thank you, Sarah, for that $20. Thank you, Sarah, for your friendship from the Lord. The Lord says he appreciates your friendship with him and talk straight with him. The Lord says you can talk straight with him. You heard me talk tonight about talking straight with God. Like when I told God, and I was not happy when I said it. I said it under my breath. I didn't want my wife sitting over there looking like she was dying to hear it. But I was ticked off, and I said, God, you come to get her, forget it. Get out. I'm not giving angel death. Get out. No way. You cannot. Nuh-uh. And I bind you. Whatever you do to the angel death, I don't know, but you're not taking her. Not today. And that was months ago. And she almost immediately just perked up and, like, changed completely. She said, man, where'd I go? I said, I don't know, but I wasn't going to let you go. I can tell you that. She said, what? I started explaining it to her. But I got pretty
you know, aggressive, because I didn't know. And God understands that we don't know. If we're messing up, he's not going to, like, get mad, you know. He knows that we're learning how to express ourselves and not be, you know, phony little whatever. When I'm sweet and nice, I'm sweet and nice, real sweet and nice. But, man, when I ain't, I ain't. And that's it. It's like, we're going to settle this right now, if it's possible. And if you think you're going to do that over my dead body, yeah, literally. You know, so you can't, She didn't even know what she's doing. She's out of it. Think going to take advantage of that once she's out. That's what I thought was going to happen. Like, that's why I didn't understand what was going on. Trying to take advantage, like something was trying to take advantage of her. Yeah, that's what it felt like. And I go, mm-mm, no. You know, I'm her husband. I have the rights. And we're one. That's it. I said, and what I say, that's going today. Maybe tomorrow I'll be different with her. But not today. Go, what I say, that's what's going to happen. And whether she agrees or not. And so God obviously saw that, Sarah, and he, you know, did something. So something happened. I don't know what. I can't say what because I don't know what happened. But it obviously changed within a few minutes, maybe less. So whatever it was, I doubt the angel of death is scared of me, but he might have seen my big sword I got. I don't know what it was. I can't say for sure. But I got a pretty big sword in the spirit, I know that. But I don't think I was trying to whack him with it. I don't think. Wow, I hadn't thought about that till right now. Woo, Lord. So we're going to judge angels. Maybe that's what was going on. Oh, my God, y'all, I think I just got something. I just literally, woo. You're going to judge. The Bible says we will judge angels. If that was the angel of death, you know what God sent to Israel, to Egypt, to, you know, even take out all the firstborn? Yeah, he's an angel. So if we're going to judge angels, maybe I was judging that angel for some reason. I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me, but wow. Sarah, how about that? Take that and put it in your sandwich and eat it. I get high off that one. So higher. Nafaya. Yeah, I think it's kind of David's like. I'm feeling kind of like I'm acting like David tonight, sort of what I keep thinking. Like I'm going up and God, wait, and all of a sudden, then I'm laughing, then I'm crying, then I'm, you know, telling God stuff. I don't know if he's going to like it or not. You know, just stuff, you know. And, you know, I kind of understand. I just got a glimpse of that, too. I'm getting glimpses tonight. When I pray for Sally, I'm getting some of that right now. I mean, literally, I'm getting glimpses into things. Something about that judging angels. And as a prophet, I don't know if it's different or not. I really don't know. But I know I've seen the sword God's given me in the spirit, and it's human hands can't swing it. It's too big. But in the spirit, somehow I swung it. And anyway, okay, let's move on. Angela Lanham. Angela from South Carolina. Sorry about that. 2193. Thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you, God, for her substance faith, for her ability to be persistent and pursue and keep pursuing God no matter what, no matter what happens, or what she thinks should happen, and what didn't happen when it should have happened, or whatever, that she just keeps on pursuing after you, not giving up, being tenacious, being God wants you to be specific with Him. He wants to teach you how to be specific. Specific in your prayers, specific in your desires, and then so you can learn. Because if you're more specific with the prayer, and then God says, I can't really give that prayer to you, like, then you know exactly what you need. If you're going to pray a generalized prayer, oh, God, give me that thing, you know, I'm talking about, you know, some of that stuff. You know, just give me whatever you want. And then, you don't know when God says, you can't have it. You're going like, well, what? I never really asked for anything. You say, exactly. I'm not saying you do this. I'm just saying. You didn't ever really ask for anything. You just kind of said, oh, God, whatever you want me to have. And, you know, and that's a good prayer. I pray it many times because I pray, you know, why don't you show me what you want so I can pray specifically. And so he does that, you know, a lot and a lot more than ever. And so when I pray specifically, then when it comes, I go, yeah, there it is. The same tag I stuck on it when I sent it up in prayer, you know, asking for this particular thing. It came back with that particular thing on the tag and showed up just like that. And then I'm like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what I asked for. But if I'd just thrown some prayer up there like I've done before, yeah, so God's going to show you how to be more specific. And the reasons for that and the purpose for all that, you're going to find it's going to be amazing and really cool and help you in your walk with God to and your communication skills with the Lord. Because believe it or not, our communication skills are probably the greatest thing that we have. You know, what you're communicating. You're not communicating. You know, communication is prayer, proper prayer. You pray properly, you know, correctly. And if you ask him for a dog and God wants you to have a cat, because he knows the cat's going to be better for you, you know, you're not going to get it. That or you might get a cat that looks like a dog, but you are not going to get something that, because God knows what's best for us. So that's why he has us to pray specifically. Amen. And the power of that's in you. So that's where you try to do that. And then when you declare and decree things, you know, specific things from heaven. All right. Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you, Robert and Sandra. Thank you for that. Here in a second. All right, hang on a second here. Yeah, Regina said, it's good that you're sharing, talking about it. Love you and believing with you. That what God can do, what God can not do does not exist. Woo! Wow, that's good. Regina says, it's good you're sharing, talking about it. Thank you for that. Love you and believing with you that what God cannot do does not exist. Where did you get that at? Wow. I never even heard that before. But what God cannot do does not exist. That's true. I never thought about it like that. That's amazing. Regina, that's powerful. God. Man, where did we get that from? Get some more of that. That's pretty amazing. Nikki says, please share anytime you want. We want to be there for you to listen and learn. All right. Same thing. Thank you very much. Angela says, Angela from South Carolina says, you're doing great. Thank you for sharing. I guess that was all done earlier. Sorry I missed all that. I'm getting distracted, I know, but I'll always come back. Sandra and Robert, thank you. We love you guys. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for God joining you guys together in spirit. Like we know when we get married, you know, there's a joining together like never before, but then the process begins of getting more knit together and more knit together. And I see God... cutting soul ties from other things or other stuff or other whatever it be, hindrances, you know, whatever that is, just get, you know, regular stuff, and really uniting you guys together in spirit like never before. So you can hear the voice of God together. Wow. In many different forms, but hear the voice of God together and find out what God is saying together. That's really what marriage is about, really, right? It's the voice of God together, discovering it together. Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that, for Sandra and Robert. We thank you, Jesus, for opening their eyes showing them the new things, the things that are to come, right? The things that are right now, we already know they're here. But the things that are to come, and move them into that realm of the things that are to come, Jesus. And hallelujah. May the anointing, this fresh new anointing, God, show them what is to come. What is, what was, what is, and what is to come. That's it. All right, Angela Joy, $40. Thank you, Angela, for that. Thank you, God, for the peace that passes understanding. And to bring peace, you know, sometimes there's situations that come in, strife and contention comes in between people, between loved ones and whatever, and learning how to, you know, that the prayer of the true prayer of the righteous man or woman availeth much, the availing prayer to bring peace, to bring real peace. Like sometimes people have phony peace and it doesn't last long because they go like, what's going on? I thought I had peace. God, must not be real. No, you know, true peace has to be brought. We can't bring phony peace, fake peace, because peace, then sudden destruction. People think they have their own kind of peace. So God's showing you how to activate that peace, the peace that calms storms, the peace that has authority. Amen. Calming storms means that whatever strife and contention people have, family members or whatever it is going on, church things happening, strife and contention come. What is it? It's like a storm. A storm starts raining. One person says something, and somebody else says something. And pretty soon, you went from a tornado to a hurricane. You know, it's like so to calm the storm in Jesus' name. And that's $90, not $40. Angela Lord gave $40 last week. I think later during like maybe on Friday or something, and then today $50. So that's $90. Sorry, I missed that. Almost missed that. Thank you, Jesus, for that $90, and thank you for that peace, that calming storm, calming peace. Yeah, in Jesus' name, because the devil stirs people up to say things that are stupid. You know, I've said a lot of stupid things that just stirred up trouble, man. Like stirred up, like what did I say that for? Duh, I don't know. The devil, you know, the devil used me. You know, whatever. Going, God, when am I going to quit doing that? Peter being used of the devil. People just get that love God. You can be used of the devil, and then they know it. They just started this little whirlwind, and then it turns into a big whirlwind, then a really big whirlwind, then into a hurricane. You know, so to stop that stuff before it gets going, and to bring peace to it. Come in. All right, Nikki and Charles, $70. That we would get the full 100% of a settlement from. And I don't know. It doesn't say from what that stupid thing on. On Subsplash, and I've even gone to my different computers to see if it was computer. Make your statements as short as you can instead of saying, "Hey, brother Randy, can you please pray for?" And by the time you get to "please pray for," it only lets you say a couple of words I can actually read. If you can do that, I apologize for the mess on that, but. Thank you, Nikki and Charles, for your graciousness, for that $70, that graciousness, that spirit of restoration, restoring, renewing, convincing people that God, when God convinced them, as you know, it's different than when we convince them. When we convince people, then they can be unconvinced, but when God convinces them, it's like when Peter was convinced by God about Jesus. So that whole convicting power is a power. When somebody is convicted by the Holy Spirit or convinced, then they believe not because we told them, but because the Father told them. They go like, and then it becomes theirs, and then they have they don't have something that belongs to somebody else, and they're trying to believe it. Now they're going like, oh my God, I got this thing, and it's mine. This is mine, and when it's theirs, it's exactly the way God wants it. He wants it to be theirs. You know, like I read the scripture tonight about we all. With unveiled faces, we all, right? But we all, that's what, in other words, you're saying everybody can have an unveiled face or behold, you know, and get it from God. And that's what we want. Our goal is not for people to listen to us
only, but to let it progressively move into a place where God is speaking to them. And then when God speaks to them, then we just kind of like, we can wrestle about it. Like, you know, are they going to change their mind? Are they going to give up on it? No, because God gave it to them. I planted a seed. You know, you guys plant seed and water it. God gives the increase. And then we just rest in that. And we think that settlement, that 100% of the settlement, God, yes, in Jesus' name. Let not that which is belongs to a man be given to another. And I think the Lord that she will, they will have what belongs to them given to them. In Jesus' name, it's complete restoration and building back, building back, building back, building back, building, building back. God is restoring, like building back, I guess another word for saying restoring, I think. What it sounds like. Building back. The word I'm getting, building back. Building back. All right, Cheryl, $75. Cheryl from Florida. Thank you, Cheryl, for that. And blessings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I think the last time I spoke, she stopped the help from comes from the Lord, and I want to spit that right back out of my mouth again. That your help cometh from the Lord. You know, and it can come through different people, and you know that. As well as anybody, that our help comes from the Lord, but you never know who it's going to be, what it's going to be. Sometimes we might think we know, but God will show you, you know, the people that are involved in that. But the thing is, here's the thing, even if we know the people, people can change their mind. God has had called a lot of people to do a lot of things, but they, as we know, even Paul the Apostle said, these people, he told their name. He said, they've given up. They've turned on the gospel. They have turned. So God can choose somebody, and they can unchoose themselves. So you know, even then, it's like sometimes God will show us who's supposed to be part of a thing or part of a ministry or part of a calling or part of whatever it is. And or sometimes I've had people come up to me and say, God told me you're going to bless me with $100. And I'm like, man, can you just tell me how to get it to me so that, you know, that I can decide? God told me that you're going to. Going like, man, I have to have God tell me that first, bro, sister, whatever. And so sometimes, you know, people will think they know that God says something. So to find that out from the Lord, and then even then, people can change their mind, but it doesn't mean God's going to change his mind. I mean, God's going to do it. But he may have to find, you know, another person to come in obedience. So people can change their mind, but God never changes his. Never. That's one thing we've been wrestling through. God never changes his mind about anything. Like who he chose to go take him into the camp, lane, to the land of Canaan. Moses messed up, and God said, directly said, I was going to have you take him in. You're taking him in, but now you're not going to do it. Get somebody else. Get Joshua. So even God picked Moses. It says specifically he picked him to do it and said, now you're not going to do it, which tells me double down that he was supposed to do it. And even God had people, you know, where they messed up. The thing is, did God get it done? He got it done. A whole different person, Joshua. And he got the job done. So God's going to get the job done. That's what we're going to rest in and know for sure. All right, Daryl Paul, $99.99, 99999, bearing fruit. That, you know, like the government of God, like that's what I think about when I see that number, the government, the fruit and the gifts and the government of God. I think it was the fruits and the gifts and the government of God and Daryl Paul. God began to show him his realm of authority, that yielding to you, God, learning how to yield to you is the key to walking in authority, because once we start doing what God says, then he starts trusting us with more, and then pretty soon he's giving us words that have mighty power to them. You know, first he gives us little things so we won't hurt ourselves, you know, like getting a little bit of getting some matches, you know, you learn how to strike the match, you burn yourself a few times, oh my God, I burned myself, or you might burn down, you know, burn some curtains up or something. And then once you learn to use the matches, you're going, okay, you've learned how to use those, good job, too bad about the curtains, but you know, you got it down there, great job. And so, and then he takes you and he trains you, and then you learn how to use matches, then he takes you to, you know, a whole different kind of igniting level, you know, igniting, like, you know, like a flamethrower or something. Yeah, so you see what I'm saying? So it's like walking in, we have to learn to obey God where we're at. And when you do that, then God starts trusting you. You know, that could even be money. You know, we start doing God with being generous, you know, with our finances to help the poor and needy, or PGN or whatever you're doing, helping, whatever, and we're generous in that, God says, I can trust you because I'm going to start being more generous to you. That's why the Bible says be generous in your giving, you know, to the poor and the needy and to the ministries or whatever you give to. When we're generous, God looks a generous giver. And when you give, then God says, oh, I can trust you, so I'm going to give you more because I know you'll give more. And now instead of giving you $100 a week, he starts giving you $500 a week, and you used to keep 500, and I mean 50, and then you give the rest of it away, and then he gives you 1,000, and you keep, you know, 200 or 300 of that, and he gives you the rest of it away, and he starts building, trusting you, and that's the realm of authority because God starts saying, I can trust him with this, I want to give it to him. Give him more and more and more. And he'll give you more, see what you do with it. And, yeah, but Jesus always, Darryl Paul, he always, it's not just about giving everything away, you know, how about that? It's Jesus told Peter, he said, go to the, for our taxes, the fair taxes, go first fish you catch, it's going to be enough in there, pay your taxes and my taxes. So what about Peter coming back and giving all of it to Jesus? Hey, this is for the ministry, Lord. He said, "That's some of that's for you, from your taxes and mine." That's the way God does it. Amen. So it's amazing. So authority and the fruit, bearing fruit. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion, God, that you put in his heart. Compassion has a tremendous hatred to it. It hates sickness and it hates disease and it hates evil. And it goes after it, bro. You got a strong, God's got a strong power of compassion inside you. That sometimes compassion is confusing because they're thinking, why do I hate that thing? Because that's compassion, man. Compassion wants to destroy that evil thing that's killing that person, you know, and it just hates it. So pure, raw, pure hatred is just one of the main parts of compassion. It has compassion on the person and hates the very thing trying to destroy them. Lord, I thank you for that spirit of compassion. Move to 100-fold realm. In Jesus' name, pure hatred and pure love for the sinner, for the sick and dying, whatever they are. In Jesus' name, open that up, God, 100-fold. Amen. Enrique, $110. Thank you, Enrique, for that. Let's see, I got some note here. Okay. All right, here we go. 110. Thank you, Andrika, for that. I'm praying over you. If, okay. 110. Okay, I'm getting it here. Okay, one second. Tyreek, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek and Torrey, 10. Tyreek, God, we thank you, Jesus, for Tyreek. God, we thank you, Lord, for letting him hold his head up, not in pride, but in confidence. That my God is with me. He's on my side. He's for me. And it's only just beginning. Lord, let Tyreek realize that it's only just beginning. You're going to teach him how to trust you, God, trust you and believe in you, just like his parents before him, his mother and Chris before him, that trusting. And God, learn to trust, learn to believe, learn to fight, and fight right, fight the good fight, that when you do that, you can hold your head up going like, I did all I could do. I did everything. I gave 100%. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for that with Tyreek in Jesus' name. I gave 100%. He can hold his head up high going, I gave 100% of my heart, my love, and I fight the good fight in Jesus' name. And Torrey, God, thank you for Torrey. Torrey, $10. God, we thank you, Lord, for that, for teaching him how to humble himself before you, God, so you can exalt him. If we learn how to humble ourselves before God and do it God's way, He will exalt us in due season. That due season is a coming time, a process. And we learn how to humble ourselves. You know, humble yourself doesn't mean just let everybody run over you so much as let God have his way. Sometimes I fight, and I fight big. And sometimes the Lord says, don't fight this time. You know, no strategy to fight. It's more the strategy is to yield it over. So you learn how to do both. But both is the war, you know. So it's his battle. And we do it his way. And learning how to do that is a lot of fun and a lot of learning, a lot of experience. ESW Auto Sales, Auto LLC, $50. Thank you, Lord, for that. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for making a new way, for a new time, a new opening, a new season, a new confidence. God and the abilities of God to make something be successful and let their name, let the ESW Auto Club be written upon the foreheads of people in Jesus' name to make it known. Chris, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris and for the learning how to refresh himself every day, God, and refresh himself with prayer, refresh himself with, you know, sometimes David had to build himself up in the Lord, because sometimes people don't really know what we need. Sometimes we do know what we need, and sometimes we're the only ones that can build ourselves up. So in some areas. So thank you, Lord, for that with Chris. In Jesus' name, teach him how to build himself up in the Lord and let the Word of God confirm how we build ourselves up and what we're building ourselves up toward, the will of the Father, that we live so short of the blessings. God's going to show you how to not live short, but how to live big. In Jesus' name, Andrika, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika. We thank you, Jesus, for the powerful Word of the Lord. Invading her life, God, the powerful words of the Lord invading her life. In Jesus' name, through dreams, however you do it, let her dreamer dream, let her dreamer really dream, God. And I'm not even talking about like literal seeing dreams, seeing things in the night dreams, as much as just dreaming, the dreamer of God in you awakening. And like Joseph was a big dreamer. And so he dreamed big, and he got big. Because God gave him that big dream. So dreaming of dreams, water and nurture for it to come to pass. All right, and $10 for God is faithful. We will work less and earn a whole lot more. And the high five. High 10. Not a high five, but high 10. Yeah, there you go. High 10. High 10. Lord, give a high 10 for $10. Yeah, a dollar per finger. In Jesus' name, a dollar per finger. In Jesus' name, Lord, let it increase and double. In Jesus' name, let the multiple increase come. In Jesus' name, and God's faithfulness be made known to Andrika and Chris. God, in Jesus' name, make it known. Make known the ways of God. Making known the ways of God. Amen. In Jesus' name, making known. All right. Jeannie, $200. Thank you, Jeannie, for that $200. We just bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your friendship. Thank you, Lord, for being my friend at times in my life. I mean, a buddy. I know that, you know, the cowgirl, the cowboy. I never was really a cowboy, but, you know, my whole family, my daddy, all that. So it was just part of me, but it wasn't me. And so I really connect with that. Anyway, so that part of you connects with that part of me, at least I feel like it is. And I'm thankful for that. Thankful to have, some farm girl, a cowgirl, and Hollis, of course, your husband, in Jesus' name, and you love Jesus. It's just good to see cowgirls who love God, you know, people who love animals and love. It's just a whole different kind of thing. It's a whole different world, and it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful thing, and I thank you, Jesus, for that in her life. God, and that people can relate to that part of her, and it keeps you down to earth. That's what I see, that raising animals and doing that stuff and believing God. You know, you're believing God to take care of God's creatures, even though they belong to you. You know that they belong to God, but they've given them to you to take care of. So you know you're going to take care of them. Yeah, in a special way, in Jesus' name, and breeding and doing all that stuff. It's just life. you're right at the where the rubber meets the road, girl. And God really likes that, and that's what I like about you too, is that you just rubber meet the road, girl. Bless that in Jesus' name. Increase her and multiply, God. Amen. I think Abraham was just a rancher, a farmer rancher. He's more of a rancher, I don't know, a sheep herder. He had all kinds of stuff. Camels, sheep, goats, cattle, he had it all. So, you know, that there's something about that everyday down to earth where the road meets the road, people that do that. Right, there you go. Right, Donald and Tanya gave 170 and then gave, I think, 70 more, what is it, 250. Thank you guys for that. Thank you for your loyalty to God. Thank you for your faithfulness to God. Thank you for your heart to help, your heart to love, your heart to heal people. Tanya, your heart to feel people and know people.
Because when you feel people in your heart, you know them. You can know people without knowing them in your heart, because your heart can experience people and know them in your heart, but you've never met them. I feel that way about our family, our PGN family. I feel like I know you guys in my heart. Some of you I've met, very few. But, you know, I know you. It's like you got to think about this. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's not here on the earth. And yet we know him. We get to know him more and more. I feel like we've all gotten to know each other more and more, even though most of the time we never even see each other. Right? Yet that's the way heaven, people talk about going to church. And, you know, I've been in church most of my life. Yeah, I did church. I was a pastor for years and was a, you know, and went to church most of my life, I think, I've been at church. So when I started coming out of church and doing PGN, you know, over the internet, people go, well, man, you need to get together. I'm going like, you know what? Yeah, we do. At the same time, just like with my relationship with Jesus, it's not, you know, I'm not up there with the escalator, riding the escalator to heaven to say, hey, Jesus, good to see you. You want to visit, man, and talk? Throw me a kiss. Throw me some love. Throw me a hand. I mean, laying on your breast. Whatever. Yeah, hey, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow or see you next week. See you next Sunday. No, it's a spiritual thing that we have. And yes, the natural things, of course, is important, but we focus so much on being you, shaking your hand, saying hello, looking in the eye, and all that, and that's awesome. But, you know, maybe we might know each other more in the spirit. Maybe we know Jesus better than those who walk with him in the earth. Right, Valentine. Maybe we know Jesus better than they knew him, because we know him by the spirit. Think about that. Anyway. Whatever that, I don't know what that was. And Donald had preached, like the whole thing about church. I mean, of course, you know, they act like if you don't go to church, you're going to hell or something. I'm going like, dude, I've been in church most of my life. And, you know, so don't sit there and tell me, you know, I'm not saying, you know, whatever. But, okay, anyway, I'm going with that. But bless Donald, Father, and thank you, Jesus, for teaching him how to know more and more with his heart. That we actually know people by hearing their voice, you know, we don't physically hear the voice of Jesus most of the time, but we hear, you know, we hear PGM, we hear each other's voices. I mean, the more you hear the voice of God, the more you know him, right? Yeah. And so how do we really, are we knowing each other better by spirit, by voice, than we do if we, you know, had the physical realm thing going on with brothers and sisters? I don't know, y'all. I just, tap into some revelation right there. I never even thought about that before until right now for the first time. Yeah, for sure. All right, Nicole, 42873. Thank you, Nicole, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you give, Nicole. I thank you for the hope God's giving you, and I thank you for the hope you give people, that God's having you give people hope. Just like when you came on the show the other night. It was a prayer meeting, right? We had a prayer meeting. Tuesday night. And you started talking about this thing about being with the Lord. It's like we're going to be with the Lord whether we die now or whatever. It's like we make such a big deal of you know, the earthly experience. You know, it's like if you're born again, you're going to be with the Lord no matter what. Yeah. So what are we hanging on to earth for? I mean, we do hang on to earth, but it's like because everything's going to be on earth eventually. But we're going to be with the Lord. We're with the Lord now. You know, I don't remember exactly how you said that, but it really encouraged me. I thought, my God, I love that. And you talk about how Jesus defeated death, man. I mean, you know, until I heard you talk about that, I never really thought about that. You know, I heard you talk about that one time on your show, listen to your show. And I thought, my God, man, you know, talking about death is the last one to be defeated. I knew that, but I didn't really know it. And, you know, you brought hope. I mean, it brought hope. Just listening to the words from the Word of God brought hope to me. And so I felt that with you the other night that going on. So thank you for that. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the hope that we get focused on the hope of our calling, the hope, everything we're supposed to be hoping in, that we hope in it. Amen. In Jesus' name, that you use the cold to get people to that place to hope. In the right thing, in Jesus' name. I sent a donation to America. Okay, this is Shannon. Okay, Shannon, hang on a second.
All right, let's go here. Let's see what's going on. Okay. All right. Shannon, $15. Thank you, Shannon. Text per. Okay. All right. Text per request. Oh, if I can read it, right? All right. Hi, Randy. Sorry, I missed getting on. My truck radiator went out today looking for a rental and stuff. My donation a minute ago. Would just please pray God helps me get a date this weekend. Feeling down because of a truck and too much time alone. Yeah, I bet that's going to be tough, man. Wow. I'd like to ask a certain woman out at the gym. She's an identical twin. Pretty cool, I think. Boarded her sister first months ago. She happens to be married. Yeah, I got it. Thank you. Supported her sister months ago and happens to be married. Then I said out loud something I've never said or thought before. I wish she had a twin. Really? Makes it a sign. Maybe it's a sign that she does. Oh, and if she did. Wow, that is pretty cool. See, you know, things are working. Things are happening. You know, so, yeah, things are working. You can tell that's a thing. You're getting in the flow of stuff about that. Things are working. So I thank you, Lord, that you're, the fact that things are, you know, working toward it is not always the ultimate. We try to jump to the conclusion. It means something specifically, and we got to, God, help him to, you know what the meaning of it, something, not to misinterpret it, not to jump to conclusions, but to learn from how that happened, why that happened, what's going on, and how can I know, you know, teach me some from it so that I can, you know, catch things every time that things go on, that you want something to happen. You know, you're trying to teach me something, let me learn from it in Jesus' name and not miss it. But be around on top of things in Jesus' name of what the purpose of the twin thing. Amen. In Jesus' name, that you'll grasp what he's trying to say to you to the fullest. Amen. It sounds kind of exciting. I don't know. I kind of got excited about that one. Very cool, Shannon. Very, very cool. Yeah, I received your $15. Thank you for that. Anybody else want to give tonight? Give through Zelle, you can give through Cash App, you can give through Venmo, whatever gets you going. I think that's about it tonight. I think that is it actually. Of course, I can tell. Wow, what a night tonight, man! I mean, I went places tonight. I hadn't planned on talking to Beth, but that was something I was almost thinking if I share that, you never know where that was going to go. But I, you know, I get loaded on the Holy Ghost. I don't care. So I just do it anyway. But that's kind of where it goes. I just want us to learn from it. I want us to all learn from it. And don't you see what I go through sometimes? You know, so you can kind of know and what's happening and what I've been going through and haven't been able to talk about. So I'm able to share it. And, you know, I love you guys. And, pray about the red heifer thing stuff. You know, everything's going good with it, but I think there's some things happening. There's some developments to new levels, to new places, new things happening there. So pray with me about that. It's a very, very important thing. I know anybody ever got a hold of that completely, but it was an extremely major transaction in the earthly realm with God when that all happened. Big, big time. So this tells me we're getting really, really close. Do some new things, and everything Julie's been going through with all it has something to do with the signs too, to me, signs. And oh, Robin, you know what? Oh my gosh, Robin, I did. You know what? I think that I wrote it down there. You know what? I didn't write it down on my computer. Thank you for that. Yes, dear Jesus. Oh my God, I almost forgot. Robin asked me to confirm if I got it, and I did. And then I got distracted and didn't put it in there. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Rob. Well, to be last is the best, right? Something like that. First shall be last, and last shall be first. So you're last tonight, looks like, so far. Wow, Robin, thank you for that. Oh, Jesus, thank you for helping me, having Robin help me with that. God knows, he knows I need help, you know. Y'all may not know it as much, but he knows I need help. Thank you, Robin, for help. And that's what I'm hearing the Lord, help for you. Like, God bringing you help. Help, 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 help. Like, you know, sister, brother help. Like, you know, friendship, intimate friendship help. Like, connective help. Like, connective help. Help that connects you. Help that connected to you. Help that thinks more about wanting the best for you than even that you want for yourself. You know, like Jesus, like being close with Banner Brother, like bringing, you know, a person that care, that knows that, that cares about you more than you care about yourself. So that's pretty high level thinking. Like, what is that? Wow, I don't know. A man lays down his life for his wife. I know that part, but maybe there's a friendship realm like that that I don't know about. You know, a friend closer than a brother. Wow, there you go. I'm not sure, but thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, God. And blessing her with that, renewing, restoring that in her life, Jesus, closer than a brother, a friend closer than a brother. Amen. That intimate friendship brother thing, you know, a human being. Okay. I'm chewing the cud on this. Right? I hear things and I chew it. So something you know, closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Restoring that. Man, you know, we just need that fellowship. We need that fellowship, that kind of fellowship, you know. Wow, when you don't have it, you just miss it. You're just like, oh, man, you know. So I thank you, Lord, for that drawing power in her, drawing that kind of friendship and fellowship to her, Jesus. Amen. Let it be done. Let it come forth. Let it be done quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly with that. In Jesus' name, and deliver the goods. Amen, in Jesus' name. A friend that is close. I keep hearing it work. A friend that is closer than a brother. Let me see if I can find that scripture for a second. Friend. I love chewing the word of God, man. Friend. Closer than... brother, isn't that it? Oh, there's right there. Proverbs 18:24. How can a friend stick closer than a brother? There you okay. So, okay, let's put her. Okay, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend sticks closer than a brother. Robin, that is Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. All right, I don't know much about this, so one who has unreliable friends soon comes. Here's another. Okay, here's some more translations to this. Wow. The New International Version, Robin, says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. All right, let's go to the King James. King James says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's really interesting. I have, okay, New Living Translation, Proverbs 18:24. There are friends who destroy each other, wow, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother, Robin. My God, what is that? That's through Jesus stuff. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay. Some friends may ruin you. This is the New Century Version. Some friends may ruin you, but a real friend will be more loyal than a brother. Woo! Wow. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Man, is that hitting you like it's hitting me, Robin? I mean, that's hitting me hard. My God, thank you, Jesus. You're a glorious Lord. Man, I'm going to run. Wow, who'd ever thought of that? A man who has many friends
will come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This is hot. Amen. That's Jesus. Yeah. She says, that's Jesus. He's closer than a brother. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't read that scripture in, gosh, years. I don't know. Maybe I'm sure it have been years. But praise Jesus. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Robin, I mean, I'm chewing up your word here. I'm chewing the cud on it the best I can. So the New Revised Standard Version says, some friends play at friendship. Look at this. But a true friend stick closer than one's nearest kin. This is a New Revised Standard Version. Some friends play at friendship. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But a true friend sticks closer than the nearest kin. All right, here's the Lexham. A man of many friends will come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Even a man who has many companions can be destroyed, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Look at all these different versions. Here's another version. New American Standard Bible says, a man who of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Okay, there you go. My God. I mean, I got a buzz off of that. Yes, it is so amazing. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's Proverbs 18:24. I mean, my God, where have I missed it on that? Hey, look, you got to see this thing, Robbie. You can't see it, but it's Biblia. I Googled a friend closer than a brother or something like that. And let's see, what did I Google exactly? I don't know what I Googled. That's what, something like that. And it came up with this thing. And watch this. They end the show like this. The Biblia, it's a Biblia, B-I-B-L-I-A thing that came up by Logos, Proverbs 18:24. And it has this thing down here that says, let your face shine. Remember we talked about the face, come with unveiled face. Look at this. This thing says, you'll see it, let your face shine that we may be saved. Psalms 80, verse 3. No way. That doesn't say that. That cannot say that. I got to see that. 80, verse 10? Uh-uh. I got to read that. Hang on a second, y'all. I'm getting like, I'm getting blessed off this stuff. I guess I think I need this. Okay, what am I doing? Psalms. Wow, y'all, this is so awesome. Psalms. Hey, if this says anything close to what we got, then I'm going to be blown away. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to Robin about this, because I'm really getting buzzed up on this one. Okay, what I said it was? Proverbs 18:24. A man who has many companions may come to ruin. What was I doing there? On 80, verse 10, I think. Did I say verse 10? Yeah, 80 verse 3. Okay, there you go. 80 verse 3. All right. Sorry, y'all, I'm getting lightened. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Ooh, there's a face shining thing again. That's how we started the show, sort of. So God is speaking to us. See how God does it? We step out by faith and we start talking about something. I didn't know what to talk about that. Chewing it. And then look how even the show's ending with something about that, which came from a totally different deal out of the blue. About the face. God, open us up to the face of God. Wow. That's hot, man. I mean, that is some hot stuff.
absolutely wonderful. It's been great. You know, Thursday nights we pray for offerings. We pray over everybody on Wednesday. So if you didn't get in on Wednesday, then you missed us. Sorry about that. Every Wednesday we pray for every person who calls in, no matter what time it is. You know, except the 1 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Robin, for drawing that out of me tonight. What a way to finish the show. That was powerful. And look at all the different versions, how they say things. They make you think about stuff. Wow. Wait a minute. Here comes something. Lisa. Oh, Lisa just gave 27:17. Lisa, I almost missed that. Okay, let's go. Lisa, my friend Lisa from PA. Lisa, PA. Lisa 717. Thank you, Lisa. Wow. Who helped us pray through the other night. Isn't that cool? Lisa Raquel. Pray for Devante. Yes, put a note on here. It's a cash app. Can we pray for Devante tonight, God? We thank you, Jesus, for Devante, her son. God, we thank you for our children, God. We thank you for the lack of fatherhood that they get, how that you can make up for that somehow. Women can never make up. Women can never make up for a father. I don't care what they say. You never can. This doesn't work. No. No way. You know, they do their best. They do all they can do, and it's wonderful, and thank God for it. But you cannot ever replace a father, not ever, and I know she knows that. But we thank you, Jesus, for helping Devante, God, to fulfill that fatherhood inside of him. Somehow, some way, Jesus, supernaturally, divinely. I don't know how you can do it, but I just thank you, God. There's no way, if God made it, that a man and a woman raise a child, and then you just got men raising them. My brother raised his children without their mother a lot of their life. And that was not, I don't care what they say, it's not a God thing. They need their mama. Well, they need their daddy. The devil is a big liar. And we thank you, Lord, that I know Lisa knows that. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you will somehow, some way, fix that, change that, help that, so we can adjust his life, God, in a beautiful way, and get him on the road to glory in your way, God. Not in our way, not Lisa's way, not anybody's way, but your way, Jesus. And I know she believes that and prays that, too. And we thank you, Lord, for Lisa, God. We thank you, Lord, for no compromise, God, that she... that, you know, we learn to not let, we don't let people use us, right? We don't let people use us. Sometimes we let people use us. I've had people use me, didn't even know they were using me, that I was so ignorant, you know, not saying you're ignorant, but that, you know, they use us, and they use us, and they use us, and then we end up going like, you know, why did I do that? Because they convinced you to do it, and you did it because you thought it was, maybe you thought it was God at the time, and ended up not being God. And so that's the same thing with Peter. Peter was used of the enemy, though he was a man of God. He was an innocent. He didn't have a clue what was happening. He would have never done anything Jesus didn't approve of. But the enemy used him sometimes to do things. So, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God. You teach her how to, that we never, in all of us, never give any avenue to the enemy, even in our ignorance. You know, like Peter, he believed wrong. He believed that Jesus could be the Messiah. We're ruling the throne of David forever. Instead of Jesus saying, I'm dying, I'm going to die. And Jesus goes, and Peter couldn't even comprehend. He said, no, and he rebuked him for it. Yet, you know, Peter was ended up being, you know, the man of God. So, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for everything. When the enemy tries to use us and, you know, in little nice, innocent ways, not deliberate, willful things, but things that we don't know. God, you're training her, showing her how to be, keep her mind focused on you at every moment, of every second, where people can't be used to distract us. Driving down the road, the enemy can use somebody to distract us. That's stuff I'm talking about. You know, distract us like a text. Like I'm texting sometimes, but you know, it's the distraction. Like, what am I doing? I'm letting a person who they don't even know you're doing it distract me and gonna get messed up or something here. What am I doing? I catch myself. Letting a person, like I say, the person doesn't have a clue they're distracting me, but I'm letting them distract me. because I'm trying to be whatever. And so any way that her focus level, God, coming to a whole nother level, and Jesus, that you bring her focus level, God, to a whole nother level. And I'll take some of that too, Jesus, while you're at it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Focus, focus, focus. Yeah, focus. Our focus is everything. If Jesus would have stayed focused on Jesus, he would have never gotten distracted with the storm, right? How many storms have I ever been distracted with? Oh, my God. This thing with Judy was, my God. I mean, I had to learn to focus on. I've been telling you some of the stories. I haven't told them all. I think that's probably the most aggressive one. Yeah, but, I mean, you don't have the enemy trying to get my focus, you know, going the wrong direction. And it happened, man. It can happen quick. But we just can't, oh, I'd never do that. Yeah, right. I would never do that. I mean, I'll never deny you, Jesus. I mean, he lost his focus. How did he do that? He lost his focus. Amen. So we got to keep our focus. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And teaching us all how to stay focused on you. For the enemy can never distract us from a blessing, can never distract us from believing the right thing or believing the wrong thing about somebody or whatever. Because it sounded convincing. It sounded right. That 2 + 2, yeah, that makes sense, man. And yet the whole thing was manipulated by the enemy, by people thinking they're doing the right thing and not. Those powerful enemy we have is innocent people being used of the devil, and they don't even know they're being used. And listen to that stuff. Like, and they look as innocent, and they are innocent. They're just as innocent as they can be. They don't know what they're doing. And that, because of that, it looks convincing. And the whole time, it's a bald-faced lie or a complete contortion of what was originated. Just to distract. Wow. All right, y'all. This has been really great. Thank you. I think that's it. Let me double-check again. And people give all during the night for different things. Thank you for that Cash App. That's cool. Cash App is cool. Robin, thank you, Jesus. I know. Me too. I didn't see that. Shalom, Prophet Randy. I'm trying to use the Cash App by the phone number. I'm having success. Please send the cash tag. There's a cash tag? I didn't know there was a cash tag. The phone number always works. Pass on a blessing. Love, Miss Julie. I have a super duper wonderful weekend. Okay, thank you so much. I just saw your text. I didn't know you sent a text. Okay, Robin. Closer than a brother. Yeah, that was sweet, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's Marja. Oh, my gosh, she gave on Zelle? Mark, I didn't even see this. I missed this. Marja, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Oh, Jeff just gave. Oh, my God. People are still giving. Okay. So, give me a minute here. I'm obviously not doing very well with the Zelle thing. How did I miss the Zelle thing? There, because it just showed up. No, that's well, Andrika's offering just gave up. Yeah, came in. Gave up. Showed up. What is going on with this? I think my system is behind. Okay, let me double check because I think, hang on a second, because it didn't show up the normal way, Marja. That's why. My gosh. And Regina might have given too. See, if you guys don't tell me, sometimes the system doesn't work very well. If you can please tell me, that would be awesome. Let me go to the Zelle. Let me go to the bank thing. Obviously, the there's a connection issue or something with that. Hang on a second. Wow. Okay, give me a minute. Okay, I don't know what. It's not even letting me get into my Zelle, my thing. Maybe Zell comes in another way. What? Hey, Margaret, I can't even find it, so you're going to have to tell me how much it was. Fucking prayer. Because I got a new phone. I added a new phone, or exchanged, or, you know, got a new phone. And some of it stuff may not be working. I don't know what's going on with that. Okay, I don't know. I apologize. It's not letting me on. And I don't know. Okay, Marja, it's not letting me on for some reason. I don't know what's going on with it. Gosh. Hey, Marge, you have to tell me how much you gave so I can pray over it. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. And Regina, if you gave two, because I know Regina contacted, Regina said something earlier, but I never saw, it never showed up. So some kind of disconnect must have happened on my account on that temporary. It happened because I changed my phone out, so it's probably doubling down on protecting me or something. All right, Margaret, thank you, Margaret, for that, the 50 bucks. Thank you, Jesus, for Margaret. God, we thank you for that whole other level of communication and friendship. I just keep getting that. Thank you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're prospering. If prosperity is, you know, having everything you need, not just all the money you need, it's having everything that you need in Christ Jesus. So I think, you know, maybe I feel like I need to tell you to take communion for a few days, if you think if you can do that. Okay. Okay. I don't know who these could. Oh, okay. 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 Thank you for that, because it yeah, I'm glad you guys told me this, because I'd have never known it until probably tomorrow or something. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thanks for, amen. The 760. I don't have my, wait a minute. Hang on. I'm getting messed up here. Give me a second. Gina. Regina is 951, so that's not 951. Nicole said she gave a few minutes ago. Okay, so y'all going to give me a minute here. Something's not working right. So if you're giving something and I haven't prayed over it, please let me know. Okay, give me a second. I'll be right back. Okay, can y'all give me just a minute here? I'm going to have to make an adjustment. I don't know what's going on exactly, but okay, let's pray over Margie first, and then we're going to go from there. Oh, Jess from California. Okay. You gave, okay, what'd you, me three, and you, okay, so you gave Luzelle tonight. How much did you give there, Jess? Can you tell me? Specific over it? I'm going to try to get on there and get it. Thank you for that, Jess. Let me know, please, because I can't seem to get a hold of that yet for some reason. Okay, y'all, I think I've got it figured out here. Yeah. Okay. So, Nicole. Okay, Nicole gave it all 35. Is that right? Is that the right thing? $1.88. Okay. Awesome. $1.88. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why that didn't come through. Really weird. Really weird. Okay. All right, $1.88. Thank you, Jesus, for the $1.88 from Nicole, God, for adding to her offering earlier. Thank you, Jesus, for God adding to you, that God give you the divine appointments, you know, waiting for the divine appointment. Sometimes we have appointments, but are they divine? You know, so God's showing you divine appointment, different between a divine appointment and an appointment that we just have, you know, regular thing. The divine appointments take spine. The divine takes the spine. The spine takes courage. The courage, you know, Joshua waited for, you know, the divine appointment. And the angel came and said, be courageous, be courage, you know. Yeah, so he waited for that divine appointment, and God gave him courage to wait, you know, until the Lord said that, until he stepped over and stepped in and took him in and took Jericho. He took Jericho. And when he took Jericho, you know, it was a divine appointment. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for giving her the courage to wait for those divine appointments, God, in Jesus' name. And wherever that happens, wherever that is, in Jesus' name, open that up right now by the power of God, and make those things things that are not, make those things that are not as though they were. All right. Okay, Marja, $50. Thank you, Lord, for Marja. I know I started praying a little earlier, but thank you, Lord, for Marja. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that the place in her heart, God, that longs for you know, friendship, just being friends, not just having friends, but having friendship, the friendship, the ship with friends, you know, the friend realm, and open her up, God, and give her, start giving her divine revelation in the Word of God, give her divine revelation on the Word, in the Word, through the Word, God, through prophetic revelation, through and doing her with power from on high, inspiring her, God, from the Word, from the living, breathing Word of God, in Jesus' name, to give her a fresh anointing, God, for being inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, in a new way, Jesus. New revelation, new understanding, new places to go, because new places to think, new things to think about from God, in Jesus' name. All right, then we have... yes, Jess. Thank you, Jess, for that. $17.50. Thank you for that, for Zell, giving to Zell. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for bringing in the victory, God, for that victory, that place of victory over her, God, that you, you know, we have victory sometimes that's not permanent. You know, it just kind of comes. Thank God for any kind of victory. But a true victory is a permanent thing. When God does it, he destroys the yokes, and the yokes can't even function anymore. Those yokes can't even work, can't even move, can't even touch us, can't even deal with us. So I thank you, Lord, for true victory, God. Like when the walls fell in Jericho. I mean, that was a true victory. You know, it just happened. God, because God, true victory is when God does it. Amen. And maybe uses a strategy through us to pray and believe and all that. But it comes from God. It's a God thing. True victory is a God thing. Because then it can't raise its ugly head and, you know, yeah, and Jesus' name, and come back, and like the word sown in the good ground, 30, 60, 100-fold, because it's planted in deep seed. Deep, the seed goes deep and is planted, and can't be plucked up by the enemy. Can't be, you know, taken or robbed, or doesn't grow among the thorns and the cares of the world, but grows from good ground, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, the good ground is the victory ground. In Jesus' name, it's the plowed ground. It's the blessed. It's the deep broken. It's deep broken. I actually literally call it deep breaking. When you plow, it's literally, there's a plow that's called the deep breaking plow. You know, when my dad would say, it's time to deep break, they ran and go, oh, man, that thing goes deep, and it just turns the soil over. You know, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that deep breaking, turning of the soil. Amen. So the fruit can't be spoiled. Turn the soil so the fruit can't spoil or be spoiled. Amen. Okay. Jeff and Uke, 270. Jeff and Uke, 270. All right, Jeff, and you, 270, thank you, Lord, for that that place, the place of passion. The place of passion is a place where, you know, we connect with our purpose. True passion, not just zeal, but true passion, Jeff, and you, when we tap into that true passion, the true passion truly kicks in, that then it brings true passion for everything. The true passion, the passion of Christ, the passion of God, the strength, the passion, okay, hang on a second here, some of the word passion. Yeah, is it definition? Passion definition is strong and barely controllable emotion. Wow. Okay, that's glad I looked this up. Strong and barely controllable emotion. Something. Oh, and then it talks about, he literally, I looked up the word, of course, Google it, and passion. And then it says the suffering and death of Jesus. Meditations on the passion of Christ. Wow. What is the true meaning of passion? Let's look at it here. Strong liking or desire or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. A passion for, yes, a passion for what you're doing. You know, so when you tap into what you're really, like when I, you know, I pastored, I evangelized, different things, but when I connected into being a prophet, and I go, oh my God, there's a new passion with this, what God had called me to do. I finally connected to what God wanted me to do, and then a passion, strong and barely controllable emotions basically started kicking in. Because it takes that. You have to have strong, passionate emotion, you know, and this is not just purpose emotion. This is deep emotion, passion from God. And when that starts rising up, that you have to have that, because whenever things kicking against you, that passion rises up and goes, well, in the name of Jesus, you know, I will not bow. I will not give in. I will not quit. I will not stop. I will not, you know, it has to rise up. It rises up in you and causes you to do things you wouldn't normally do. But you tap into that. It's like tapping, drilling for oil, and you finally tap in and go, oil's going everywhere. You're getting all dirty because you got oil all over you because it's going everywhere. You know, passion. The passion of Christ. That knows the purpose of Christ that kicks in. It's like unlocking the passion inside you. You may find yourself getting angry, like with me, that day that Judy was going through that thing, and I thought, man, I mean, all of a sudden, she just like she was dying on me, like right in front of me. I said, this is crazy. I want to go shopping. Going shopping. You know, and then it's like something in me kicked in, and I'm going to hell with everything and everybody. Nobody going to touch her until I say so. You know, it just kicked in, like intercession or something, I guess. I don't know what it was, but it was a passion. It was a passion. And boy, it was strong. It scared me. The passion scared me. But you know what? I think I broke through. Obviously, the result was, you know, at that moment was amazing. And so anyway, there you go. So thank you, Lord, for that with Jeff and Uke. So they don't spook. Hallelujah, that they come alive. Amen. Yeah, come alive. You know, come alive with the passion of Jesus. Oh, wow, I didn't realize I hit my phone. I thought I was talking on the wrong phone. I got two phones. Well, I hope you were able to hear that. Gosh, I just yakking away and didn't know I had the wrong phone in my hand because they looked the same. There you go. I hope you were able to hear all that. That was awesome, man. Okay, good, because the phone was like down at my side and I had the other phone up there. Wow, man. Wow. Dude, you know, this is amazing. Ooh, I love the word of the Lord. My God, I get blessed by it as much as more than some of you guys do. Sometimes, I mean, you get blessed by it, but I'm just, because it's coming through me and I'm hearing it and I'm feeling it, passion. That's because the prophetic is passion in me. You know, I don't have to try to work it up. You know, sometimes I have to step out, but I don't have to work. I don't have to work. It works me. It's like I said, passion is strong and barely controllable emotion. Like, I don't have to work the prophetic. It works me. I mean, it just works me.
It's working me. Jesus said, I work. When my Father works, I work. That's kind of what that is. When the prophetic's working, that's when I work. If it ain't working, you know. Anyway, there you go. My God, that was powerful. Jesus, Shikarahota. Woo! My God, that was like unbelievable. Good, Nicole, we can hear you. Okay. Thank you, because I had the wrong phone up, man. I got this new phone, and it looks like the other phone, except it's because my other one was so messed up and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I finally, after, I should have got one a year ago, 2 years ago. But I'm just now getting it because I'm slow. And I'm a tightwad on some things, too. I don't want to spend the money. Who cares if you get a cracked up? I could have the cracks fixed, but it was the space on my phone. I need something with more space, more gigabytes. But I got way too much stuff on the phone. It's like a big computer packed up with stuff. All right, y'all. Oh, my gosh. It's been an amazing night. Anybody else got anything to say? Given it I don't know about, just please tell me, because I do not want to miss. Listen. Like Forrest Gump said, that's all I got to say about that. Oh, okay, how much was yours, Regina? Oh, 20, no, my God, see? Oh, my God. That's all because that didn't send me that. I always get emails. Emails ding on my phone and tell me, you got something with Zelle. But for some reason, it'll probably come in about 1 o'clock in the morning. It does that every once in a while. No, I didn't, Regina. I mean, I did. I almost messed it up. Okay, 25 for you and 20 for the AAAs. Yeah. And thank you for that note, by the way, about it's good you're sharing, talking it. About it. Love you, believing with you that God, what God cannot do, does not exist. I don't know if you heard me talking about that earlier, but I never heard that in my life. I mean, that was amazing. What God cannot do does not exist. Woo, my brain just like what? That is amazing. So thank you, Lord, for amazing Regina, God, and Regina, amazing people. Amazing others with her, you know, whatever she picks up on, however she gets it. God, it's like, it doesn't really matter who does what, whether it's directly to us, Regina, or through somebody else. But when you catch something and you spread that, then it's from God, however you got it. I mean, it amazes people. I get amazed at the word of God. I get amazed at stuff. And that was a truly amazing. What God, I mean, I don't know if I remember that or not. It's like, so amazing. What God cannot do, does not exist. Oh, my God, that's stretching my brain, girl. My Lord and my God. Oh, wow. I'm glad this is coming up like this because I'm rethinking this thing. I'm chewing it. Wow, I think it has something to do with you, too. It's like God's trying to show you maybe that what God cannot do does not exist. In other words, the things that don't exist with you are because, you know, God can do all things, and if that thing ain't done, not created, then, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, so amazing. Wow. Well, thank you, Lord, for Regina, God, and getting hold of things that if they're not created or done by God, if they're not done, then, yeah, they're just, yeah. So thank you, Jesus. Even though we speak those things that are not as though they were, when the timing's right, of course, you know, when God does want to speak those things that are, so God's showing you how to speak those things that are not as though they were. That's what I'm hearing the Lord say. Yeah, speak those things that are not, but they're in heaven. They are in heaven, but they're not in earth. It's like whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. Whatever is loosened, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for the things that are loosed, that Regina will begin to speak those things that are not as though they were. by the Spirit, a whole other level of speaking, a whole other level of decreeing, a declarative decreeing anointing. In Jesus' name, let it come forth. Amen. And that 24, AAA, thank you for the AAA, the daughters, all their names start with an A. And thank you, Jesus, for the girls. Thank you, Lord, for them experiencing the crucifixion of Christ, the seeing the sufferings of Christ, that when they see the sufferings of Christ and what he suffered for, that imperfect man, when they start seeing the imperfect, that people are imperfect, and Jesus knew they were imperfect, like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he said to her, you know, I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to condemn people. This is not my job. I know the law is my law, but, you know, I've come to change that. I've come to change all that. So let them see all the things that have been changed. Instead of being under religious spirit, let them be under the Holy Spirit and realize the things that have been, like Jesus said, you know, yeah, I know I said, if somebody pisses over and kill them, so, yeah, I did that. But you know what? I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to stand between you and her, and you are not going to stone her because you have sin in your life. So, you know, let them see the things that Jesus, that the religious spirit thing hides from them. Let them see what you really have come to do and really have come to change and really have come to come to sinners and people who have problems and issues and change their life. Not kill them or take them out or get rid of them because they're not perfect. But to know that Jesus has come, the very purpose of him coming is to change them, is to take those things that they've messed up on and make them right and make them better and make them brand new creation, that they will see that God and know that in their life personally and with their family members and whoever's all around them, that they'll be able to see that and know that in Jesus' name. So it'll change their life, God. So the spirit of judgment that they will have will be the righteous judgment and not unrighteous judgment that we can. No, we all do that sometimes. We have unrighteous judgment. We judge unrighteously. No, but we're not thinking like Jesus thinks. Jesus said, hey, you're not going to stone her. No, you're not going to do it. Get out. Get back. You guys got sin yourself. Throw the first stone. If which one of you don't have no sin? He said, it's like, they were saying to him, if you really made these laws, why don't you keep them? That's what they were saying. He said, yeah, I did. That's the thing that's controversial and hard to grasp is like, yeah, that really was God. But, you know, Jesus said, I came to change all that. I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to judge. I came to forgive and change. Lord, let the girls get a hold of that in a new way, John, in Jesus' name. Every one of them. They can be blessed. They can be free. They can be open. And you think a whole other life, God, a whole new liberty, a whole new freedom, a whole new joy. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Regina, thank you for that. Sorry for that. I don't know what happened to my Wells Fargo account tonight. I mean, my Wells Fargo account's good because I looked at it, but I couldn't even send me those Zelle things for some reason. Maybe it'll send them late. All right, y'all, is that it tonight? I mean, I'm trying to check everything out. Thank you so much for all of it. I'm not seeing anything. Then I keep going to my email account, and I have every email account that I have open in one thing where it opens up all of them, you know, where it says all inboxes, and they're not showing up anywhere. But that means, like some of the offerings tonight didn't show up for about an hour. They were about an hour late coming in. Yeah. That's really weird. So it's getting in there, but it's coming to me late. All right, y'all. I think I actually did everything. 12:41. I thought we were going to quit like 11 o'clock, and it's an hour and 40 minutes later, and we're still at it. I love this stuff. I don't think we missed anybody. I think we did good, as far as I can tell. All right, y'all, pray for me. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your love. I'm glad I got to share with you tonight some of that stuff. I had not planned on going there at all. And then I went further than I said, I'm not going to go there, and then I went there. That's what I do. I'm not going to go there, and then I go there. Yeah, I don't know what that is. So I'm glad I'm able to talk with you guys and my family. And I know you love me no matter what. Something like that. Yep. Pretty mind-boggling.
Okay, y'all. I think that's it. All right. All right, good call tonight. All right, good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.